protagonist, someone of a cultural icon for the past number of years, was shot by a demented uncle, I think. It wasn't terribly impressive. I think the attraction is that people can be so casual about murder, extortion, and the like that maybe it's somehow all right to commit crimes if you're normal in the rest of your life and, personable or not, somehow sympathetic. I understand that a lot of people watched the show and thought it well done, the writing and the acting, which would make it stand out above everything else on the Idiot Box. Of course, there have been many good programs.
This is the Quality News Network. There was a bomb scare at a government building near the White House where the press corps is temporarily located. The building had been evacuated by the Secret Service earlier today after a bomb-sniffing dog reacted to one of the vehicles parked outside. Security in the nation's capital has been increased because of Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's visit. Mr. Olmert was in New York earlier today where he met with U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. He will meet with President Bush later today. President Bush spoke with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas today over the phone. Despite the violent Hamas takeover of Gaza in recent days, Abbas says this is the time for the Mideast peace talks to be renewed. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced today that the U.S. has lifted its economic and political embargo against the Palestinian government. The U.S. will resume direct aid to bolster the Palestinian president, who is also backed by the Western nations. The European countries have promised to restore aid to the Palestinian Authority. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that when a police officer stops a car, a passenger as well as a driver have the right to challenge the officer's decision under the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable search and seizure. Today's ruling was unanimous. In North Texas, overnight rains flooded several towns. At least two people were killed, including a four-year-old girl. Stranded people and pets waited on their roofs to be rescued. Foreign Policy Magazine and the Fund for Peace issued the third annual Failed State Index. According to the global survey based on social, economic, political, and military factors, Iraq is now the second most unstable country in the world. Sudan tops the list. British authorities announced a worldwide internet pedophile ring has been broken up. More than 700 suspects were involved. 31 children were rescued. Duke University has reached a settlement with the three lacrosse players who had been accused and later cleared in the rape scandal. The terms of the deal were not revealed. The latest USA Today Gallup poll finds Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton with a double-digit lead over rival Senator Barack Obama for the Democratic presidential nomination. And on the Republican field, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is in first place with former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson in second. This is QNN.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm washing my car. You want to help?
No, I don't want to be a polluter.
Whoa, I'm not polluting. I'm just washing a car.
If your car wash water is going down the street and into the bay, then you're a polluter.
Oh, really?
I'll help you clean this up, but what you should do next time is go to a local car wash.
And pay money?
Pay money for them to recycle the water and keep all that pollution out of the bay. I think it's really worth it.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The Russian computers on the International Space Station, which experienced a meltdown last week, have passed another test today. That means the space shuttle Atlantis will likely return back to Earth this week. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today in favor of Wall Street banks in a suit filed by investors who lost money after the tech stock crash 7 years ago. The investors alleged that the banks had conspired to drive up newly issued stock prices during the late 1990s. The former chief of Enron's internet unit was sentenced today to 27 months in prison. Kenneth Rice pleaded guilty to securities fraud and cooperated with federal prosecutors. Yahoo's chief executive officer Terry Semel will leave his position and become an advisor to the internet company. Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang was named late today as chief executive. Fast food chain Wendy's may put itself up for sale. The Ohio-based company, which is the third largest hamburger chain nationwide, says it has formed a special committee to explore a possible sale. Apple announced that the battery life on its new iPhone is 8 hours, which is several hours longer than originally estimated. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.09 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 27 points. The NASDAQ was flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, thank you,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, thank God it's Monday, my favorite day of the week. Thank you to those of you who wrote and called and wished Happy Father's Day and that sort of thing. That means a lot. And Father's Day was very, very quiet around here yesterday, as I think Father's Day probably should be. For the most part, I barely would have known it was Father's Day except for the loving good wishes of my children and a nice kiss from my wife and some, like I said, some phone calls and emails, which I appreciate. We spent a good part of the day working on what is very special about this Monday, working that is on the premiere episode. Do we call it an episode? Yeah. Of the much anticipated Strictly Confidential. That's right. Thank you, Agnes. A little taste of what you can expect from 9 to 11 every Monday through Friday night here on the Horn. And I think if the work that's gone into it is borne out, and I have no reason to believe that it will not be, this is going to be one fabulous radio show. And I deliberately use the word fabulous. It's been a lot of fun to put together. Be with us, please. I know a lot of you are Malloy listeners, and I understand that. Let me say, first of all, that we didn't deliberately position this opposite Malloy to compete. You all know my view of competition, at least among liberals and progressives. That's not my goal. But we're hoping to open up an entirely new dialogue with an entirely new demographic that has endured in silence for far too long. And that's our goal with Strictly Confidential. I know that is Peter Godbold's goal. So, you know, I hope you'll join us tonight. I think it's going to be the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful radio program. Let's see. There's a couple of different places that we could get started this evening, but the one that kind of grabbed me was the story that led, as well, the QNN, Quality News Network, broadcast at the top of our program, and that is this bomb scare. Be afraid, be afraid. Fear, it's what's for dinner. Where they evacuated all the White House press corps. Interestingly, nobody else got evacuated, just the press corps. You timid little professional journalist, scared yet? Fear, it's what's for dinner. But it's the backstory on it that I find interesting. Now, I'm just reading, I'm going on the reportage from Chicken Noodle News, CNN, the conservative news network. And the way it reads from CNN is as follows. The Secret Service evacuated the temporary press center across the street from the White House on Monday after a dog got a, quote, suspicious hit. Now, you know, there are people I used to run with that would think something entirely different of a phrase like a suspicious hit. Dude, is it paraquat? A suspicious hit on an Israeli vehicle entering the secured area around the White House. What? A suspicious hit on an Israeli vehicle entering the secured area around the White House, according to a Secret Service spokeswoman. The Israeli vehicle was arriving ahead of Tuesday's meeting between President Bush and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. An hour and 40 minutes after the 2:50 p.m. incident, the all-clear was given. This just leads me to ask some very fundamental questions. One, what was in the Israeli car? Because you'll know there is as much news in this era of doublespeak and Republican spin and right-wing filth and garbage that passes for media. There's as much news in what is not said as is in what is said. You'll notice that in the reportage, and you can go read it on CNN's political ticker for yourself at CNN.com. Right now, it is it's included in their latest news segment in the top center of the page. It says, ticker, White House press corps evacuated. You can read this for yourself. And you can look at what's not said there. Because what is not said there is that the dog's suspicious hit turned out to be a false positive. It doesn't say that. Now, what are dogs trained to sniff out? Well, we know dogs are trained to sniff out drugs. We know dogs are trained to sniff out explosives. We know dogs are trained to sniff out radioactive materials. This is a car from the Israeli embassy, so I'm guessing the dog wasn't standing there going, bacon, 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 I smell bacon. So what the hell was in this Israeli car that apparently was there because they didn't say it was a false positive? Don't you suppose that they would say it was a false positive if it was a false positive? All it says is the all-clear was given an hour and 40 minutes later, an hour and 40 minutes after it was patiently explained to the White House and to the Secret Service that, by God, the Israelis will bring whatever they want to into the White House. Guns? Little suitcase nuke? We don't know. We're not allowed. And I'm not trying to be over the top about this. But if it was a false alarm, it would have been said to have been a false alarm. Because after all, it was the journalists they were evacuating. Wonder what the journalists weren't supposed to see. Wonder what they were afraid that the journalists would report if they were allowed to remain in their temporary press center. Oh boy, the paranoia is running high tonight, isn't it? Oh, it's going to be a long week. But is that a fair question to ask? What else is there out there that security dogs sniff? what could possibly Israeli Mossad agent, Secret Service, firearms? Was that it? Why would you have a firearm sniffing dog on the car? This is just creepy. This is very disturbing. The news story doesn't say that the item was discovered and removed. Apparently, it was passed right on into the White House. Now, I'm speculating, I admit it, and unlike right-wingers, I'll tell you that I'm speculating. This is either really, really bad journalism, which is distinctly possible, or there is apparently a separate set of rules for some folks entering the White House. Right? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. So your thoughts are welcome on that topic. Another thing, you know, I frequently go. I've got a little handful of places that I go for information, with occasionally forays into other less frequented sites. But as I prepare for a show every day, it's a sure thing that I'll go to the Washington Post website. It's a sure thing that I'll go to the New York Times website. Frequently, the Chicago Tribune. Frequently, the Los Angeles Times. A good catch-all for all of those, our good buddies at WD40.com. OpEdNews.com is a great site that I visit. Bart Cop, you all know I'm a Bart Cop fan. I go to TruthOut.org. And I go to BuzzFlash.com. And I want to say this, because I wonder sometimes, you know, far be it from me to say that we should be mealy-mouthed or anything like that, but sometimes I'm a little bit disturbed by some of the things I read. And I realize some of this stuff flies through the fingers and onto the keyboard and onto the screen and onto the web faster than a speeding bullet. And I'm looking at the lead link at the head of BuzzFlash right now, and it says the following: "Send in the clowns." No, they're already in the White House. Quote: "Iraq has emerged as the world's second most unstable country, behind Sudan, more than 4 years after President George W. Bush ordered the U.S. invasion to topple Saddam Hussein, according to a survey released on Monday." Unquote. And then, and BuzzFlash has cute little kitschy headline comments on the links. And in this case, it says, "Would one of those blonde bimbo right-wing shills give Bush a blowjob already so we can finally impeach him and save America and Iraq?" And I agree wholeheartedly with the sentiment. And, of course, it's easy to, I mean, that's we've been saying that for years. You know, will somebody please have illicit sex with George Bush so that we can impeach him, like we did Bill Clinton for having illicit consensual sex with Monica? Because it's cute, and it reminds people that we impeached a president over a private sexual affair, whereas a very publicly, dishonestly started war doesn't seem to merit the same attention from the present Congress. And it's cute. But I read this headline and the little editorial comment, and I don't know what Agnes feels about this, but that line, "Would one of those blonde bimbo right-wing shills..." Somehow this afternoon, and maybe it's just because I was in a foul temper, or, you know, somebody peed on my Wheaties this morning or something, I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But that phrase, "blonde bimbo right-wing shills," does the sentence work as well when you say, "Would one of those right-wing shills give Bush a blowjob already?" Actually, it does. Why does there have to be, and I say this because we're the left. We're liberals, we're progressives. I call somebody an SOB, and I catch hell about it. Because there's an element of sexual demeaning involved in the use of the B word. If we're going to sit here and get all worked up about the use of that word in that rap music, then we need to be consistent, don't we? I submit that we do. Bimbos? I don't know, Agnes. I don't know how we do know. I just think that our side should be a little bit better than to use sexually demeaning terms even against the other side. I mean, if I for one, and you know, it's part of the reason that we're starting the show that we're starting at 9 o'clock this evening. I don't want to be caught engaging in gender bigotry. I personally don't care if a guy or a woman gives George Bush a blowjob, if that's the basis that we have to have in order to impeach the little bastard. You get my meaning? So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's just been a long day. Maybe I'm a little overly sensitized to it. Yeah, Agnes, go ahead. Sure, what?
What does it matter what color your hair is?
Well, it doesn't.
Well, and I've known a few prostitutes, and some of them are liberal.
A lot of them are.
So, right-wing, blonde, bimbo...
Blonde, bimbo, right-wing shills.
Well, you know, this is one thing that I addressed the other day. It doesn't matter.
Lou Dobbs is blonde.
It doesn't matter what side you're on. There's good and bad on both. It just comes down
to... No, but it's the gender issue I'm on about.
I think they're just upset, and that's the way... What does it have to do with a woman?
Right! You know,
oh, I get it. They're going back to the Clinton days, but wasn't Monica a brunette?
She was. But you see, over on Fox, on Fox News, and Ann Coulter and Laura Graham and Ingram or whatever the hell her name is.
Ann Coulter doesn't count.
Well, Ann Coulter's a guy, which is precisely my point. I don't care. I don't care if it's a guy or a girl. I don't think we should. I think it's a little bit sexually demeaning. That's why, we get the kids come in from school and they talk about the language they hear on the playground, and Ferg will say, well, so-and-so called me up, and it's a word that begins with P, and it's a euphemism for cat. And yeah, I could say it right here, but I look at him and I said, these people have no sense, son. Why is it an insult to you to call you a part of human anatomy? But that's the way these things go. I don't get it.
Well, how about looking at it this way? Possibly, considering the current polls on Bush's popularity, you say something like this, and the people who really are coming around... Yeah, it's nitpicking, but they're going to jump on it, and you're just going to take them right back to where they are. So what does it matter what color your hair is or what gender you are? It's kind of what you believe about it.
Really, dear, the thing that got me going was not the hair color reference. It was the bimbo reference.
Well, I don't know that many bimbos.
Bimbo is generally a feminine pejorative, is it not?
Oh, yeah. But like I said, I
mean,
don't
we don't call guys bimbos, do we?
I don't know any bimbos, actually. So maybe these guys do.
I
do they have somebody in mind?
Dear heart, I don't think you get where I'm going.
Yeah, I get it. It's just that I'm kind of sick of it.
I don't know why we have to be sexually demeaning. I don't know why in the first decade of the 21st century we have to persist in the stereotypes that say that gender is somehow it can be transferred into an insult. I mean, what is this? Some sort of old cowboy and Indian movie where you are like a woman.
No, because women are generally the ones who are talked to like that. An insult is hurled, and it has to be in a feminine
precisely
form.
My point. This is outdated, antiquated, and antediluvian. Can't we come up? We're the smart people. Remember, we're not the right wingers. We're the left wing. We're the intelligent ones. Can't we come up with something far more acerbic and far more biting than blonde bimbos? And again, let's be gender neutral. I don't care. I don't care who has illicit sex with George Bush, as long as illicit sex remains the standard under which we impeach. I just hope somebody will. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to beat on this the way I did, but it was just it was one of those things that kind of just got under my skin. It's Monday. God only knows what can happen as the rest of the program goes on. Oh, and there's plenty to talk about tonight too. you know the right wing, the personal responsibility crowd. Nobody's ever supposed to sue anybody. Well, you probably saw the story last week where, what's his freak? The goofy beard confirmation hearings, Reagan, Bork. Former Supreme Court Justice nominee Robert Bork, who openly advocated for an outright elimination of punitive damages. He went and gave an address at the Yale Club or the Hasty Custard Foundation or, you know, one of those the snotty Ivy League things. And a funny thing happened on the way to the lecture. Robert Bork slipped and fell. Guess what Robert Bork did? Yes, Agnes, yes. He sued the Snotty Custard Foundation or whatever.
Oh, not supposed to do that. It's frivolous.
Oh, no. Yeah. He not only sued them, Agnes, he pled for punitive damages in the ad damnum clause of his lawsuit.
Good for him.
Hypocritical freaks. And now this. There's a goober named Lee Kaplan, and he writes for David Horowitz's Freakazoid magazine, frontpagemag.com. Don't go there. Don't help. And so somebody who objects to the right-wing blatherings that come from the puddled gray settlings inside the skull that pass for Lee Kaplan's brain... a student set up a blog called Lee Kaplan Watch just to expose the bigotry and the racism and the prejudice that Lee Kaplan engages in on a, you know, minute-by-minute basis. Well, Lee Kaplan turned around, and again, the right wing, you know, personal responsibility... that complains that the United States is a lawsuit crazy victim culture. Remember, you've heard all that garbage. Well, Lee Kaplan sued the dude for tortious interference with business relations, and the small claims court awarded him $7,500. The blogger at Lee Kaplan Watch who was sued wrote, "I hope that sufficient attention is paid to the great danger that what has happened to me poses to all of us. It is by all means a serious issue. My First Amendment rights have been subverted with support from the courts, which only shows that everybody is in danger of facing these abusive small claims court defamation suits. My speech has been punished by a ruling with no opinion, because, see, the small claims court judge didn't have to issue a written opinion, just, you know, whack, you know, people's court, dun-dun, and you go outside and talk to the goober with the microphone. No written opinion. My speech has been punished, he says, by a ruling with no opinion explaining why or advising me what not to do in the future. My credibility has been tarnished by a trial with incredibly low standards for admissible evidence and a messy, inconsistent court procedure. And for me, worst of all, I will never know what element of Kaplan's claim, if any, the judge agreed with, though Kaplan will certainly continue to claim that all of them were accepted, though he knows well that this is not the case. And the this is a freedom of speech and right to blog issue. I hope the young man appeals, because small claims court in just about any state is subject to, in many instances, an automatic appeal upward. But you see, again, it's a classic case of the hypocrisy of the right wing. Do as we say, not as we do. And it's disgusting. So, you know, wherever you want to go, right-wing hypocrisy, or right-wing hypocrisy. Am I being a little overly sensitive in defending the bimbos of the world? I don't know. And by the way, what was in the Israeli embassy limo? Just asking. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates us for our freedom. Fear, it's what's for dinner.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Those people I know.
In Nebraska, a bill to protect gays and lesbians from job discrimination failed to pass. Senators were worried that it might protect transvestites.
Well, lawsy, Master Senator, y'all sure enough take care of y'all's queers. We's mighty grateful y'all don't put us to death like the good book says.
There's no money falling from the sky.
Gay Conversation Radio.
Cause a man took my heart and robbed me blind.
Coming in June.
Somebody stole my brand new Chevrolet.
Because there's nothing more fierce.
And the rent is due, I've got no place to stay.
Than a Southern Belle gone bad. Hi, I'm Peter Godbold. Welcome to Strictly Confidential, premiering June 18th, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Gay bomb. Oh, Agnes is moving into dance mode early tonight. I guess there won't be any bluegrass for poor Bob in the bumper music tonight. You've got an announcement, Agnes.
Happy anniversary to Bob and Glenda. 37 years today.
Yay! A little golf clap.
We love you guys.
Indeed, congratulations. Look at those family values, and not even right wingers. How about that?
Excellent people.
Good people. 24 minutes before the hour, and we go to the phones. Our good friend Alan calling from Alabama. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. I was going to say that when somebody calls me a socialist because I believe that we should all work together, It seems like the way that it's supposed to be. We're supposed to work together, and then that helps the individual. How does somebody supposed to be a productive person in society if he doesn't have a group to help him to reach that state?
Well, I don't know, and I don't think anybody else does either, Alan. It's a classic case of that old saying, if we do not hang together, we shall surely hang separately.
Yeah, and also in the more affluent people in our society, they work together. They help each other.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Without a doubt. But see, that's the whole point. The right wing and the Republicans, Alan, are doing everything in their power to tear down our culture. They've just about killed off the last of everything that FDR and JFK and LBJ did, and Harry Truman, did to build a successful society. And what they want is they want to destroy the middle class altogether. It has always been the goal of the Republican Party to create a two-class society of the very rich and the very, very poor. And they've come pretty close to succeeding, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned FDR because I wrote on my dirt back of my dirty truck, I wrote FDROH.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and also I drew a picture of FDR with his glasses.
Very cool. Yeah, because I've seen a little bit of your artwork, and I have a feeling even if you're only working in road dust on the back of the truck, I'm imagining it's pretty good.
Try to get the message across.
That's a great way too.
Yeah. Also, this subject of the individual versus a group, it makes me think of the Grail Knight. Remember? They all sat around at the Grail table, the table, the round table with King Arthur, and then when they all went to search for the Grail, they went off as individuals, but when they sit at the table, they sit as a group. So you got to have both in our society.
That's a great analogy, Alan. We certainly do. And they went off as individuals, and they all failed, didn't they?
Yeah. You said they all failed.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Holy Grail sitting in the British Museum, to the best of my knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah, It's, you know, we you know, Hillary Clinton wrote that book a few years ago, and all the right-wingers had a fit about it, where she said it takes a village. You know, it does. If you look back in your upbringing and everything, Alan, you can probably think of a dozen people who were instrumental in making you a decent human being.
Yeah, that's right.
And all of us can. But the Republicans seem to think that if you're not getting it from their little right-wing religion industry church, or you're not getting it, you know, from your traditional American family with its traditional family values, that somehow or another you can't turn into a decent human being. And that just goes against everything that we think we stand for.
Uh-huh. I would say the one who came the closest to finding the Grail was Percival.
Yeah.
And that means person, the center, the one who keeps the middle ground. And that seems like we don't have that in our society. It's always one extreme to the other.
Well, it is, and the sad thing is we've been dragged so far to the right that the left extreme is what would have been considered the center 30 or 40 years ago.
I know. It makes Eisenhower look like a liberal.
Oh, Dwight Eisenhower wouldn't be welcome in the Republican Party today. There's no doubt in my mind about that. For that matter, neither would Barry Goldwater.
Uh-huh.
Richard Nixon would be a liberal today. Not that I'm any fan of Nixon, but his policies were fairly liberal compared to the wing nuts of today.
Yeah, and the people I debate out here on CB radio, they just, most of them don't understand that, younger ones anyway.
Well, you're working with people with a fairly limited skill set. I hate to say it because I'm a Southerner, but the further south you get, the more virulent the conservatism and the meaner spirited it seems to get. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, you just don't. You don't love America.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm gonna get shot in one of these debates someday.
Well, you know, I wouldn't let them triangulate my signal if I were you, Alan.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you stay safe, will you?
Hey, let me tell you that I called my senator the other day.
Oh, what did you call him? I mean, you've got two that are worthy of being called all kinds of rotten things. I'm kidding.
I called both of my senators, and I told them, I said if they turned the Internet over to private corporations, I would think that a politician who does that would be considered an enemy of democracy. Because this Internet has helped me out. They're learning things more than anything else I could think of.
Oh, me too. You know, it used to be, and maybe this is a sign of my laziness or whatever, but it used to be that if I absolutely needed to know something, off to the library I had to go. But now, the world's largest library is at your fingertips.
Yeah, and they want to do away with it. They want to control it.
Well, they just want to make more money off of it. They really don't care what goes on it so long as they can make a fast buck out of it. But in the process of making the fast buck, they'll destroy it.
Yeah.
If they get their way.
And also, I'd like to hear your opinion about the case about Agent Orange today. The Vietnamese are starting to sue the U.S. government over Agent Orange or Vietnamese citizens. And I say more power to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, Agent Orange was chemical warfare, pure and simple. And frankly, the law of supposed civilized war says that the people impacted by it should have a right to compensation from it. Now, I tell you what, you want to extrapolate some scary stuff. Go 20 years down the road, Alan, and imagine the litigation that's going to come back and just smack us in the head over depleted uranium.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and so when this war started, the Iraq war started, there was people suing Japan. Jews were suing Germany over forced labor. I think they were suing Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
That was still going on like 40 years after the war.
Oh, there is a piper to be paid. And it's gonna come at a hefty bill. We've poisoned our own soldiers. We've poisoned an entire segment of the world. You know, it's even catching up with us from the bombings of Yugoslavia. Insofar as you know, we use depleted uranium there, and there are thousands of people who are sick from it.
Oh, it's a mess.
It is. And the thing is, our children and our great-grandchildren are going to get handed the bill for it. And they're not going to be able to, you know, the best they'll be able to do is visit George W. Bush's grave and spit on it.
Yeah, and I would think they'd want to do that, too. That's probably why he wants to move to South America.
Yeah, that's a mighty big loogie. Alan, good to hear from you, brother.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye. And, oh, Susan, okay. I don't read lips, Agnes.
I'm sorry, I'm holding up a piece of paper.
Well, okay. Pardon us, Susan, while we have a little marital spat here, would you?
Okay.
Okay, no, we're all better now.
I just called in. First of all, you mentioned about, you know, you were wondering why the dogs, what was brought into the White House. Well, considering what the Mossad has access to and so on and so forth, I'm pretty certain it was probably George's monthly drug run.
Now see, I didn't go there. A little diplomatic pouch with some finest Peruvian flake in it, maybe?
No, just some nice, real nice Afghan white.
Wow. See, okay, you're going in a different direction than me. Yeah, sure.
Hey, dope's dope, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And
grow your own dope, plant a bush?
Sure.
That's a joke, Agent Fred. That's just a joke.
Yes, I know. Personally, I'd rather. As for your opening statement, I'll be brave and say it. Will somebody, anybody, please, give this guy a BJ. Just make sure you have a film crew with a live feed to the Internet first.
Yeah, and you know, and whoever does it doesn't have to wear the blue dress. They can just hold it up at the appropriate moment.
Yes, right.
And off to the lab it goes.
Anybody, I don't care who. Anybody.
Yeah, I don't want to be a bigot here. I don't care if it's a guy or a girl.
I don't care. The more the merrier. Just as long as we have pictures.
Well, yeah, okay. I personally don't want to see them.
No, but I want proof.
Yeah, we'll leave that for the grand jury to view.
Right. I just want honestly.
But then again, I'm sorry, Susan. I get a little bit depressed, okay? Because I'm convinced. I am convinced that if you took those photos of George Bush doing that and held them up to Nancy Pelosi and said, "See? You know what you'd get? Impeachment is off the table." Screw it. I want a new table.
Yeah. You and me both.
I mean, there's a story out today, okay? I saw it, Lottie in the chat room passed it on to me, and I'd also seen it a little earlier. I forget, somebody else sent it to me. Headline, and this is from Think Progress, and they do pretty good stuff. You've probably seen it, too. You see everything before I see it. I'm like the last to know. I'm the mushroom of the network, Susan.
No, that's Agnes.
That's me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what do I sound stupid? I'm going to say something like that. No, the headline, investigation uncovers extensive destruction of RNC emails, violation of Presidential Records Act.
Exactly. They figure there's something like 100, there's only 130 some that's supposedly left.
Now, we know Greg Palast has some of them.
Yeah, not counting the 500 that Greg Palast turned over.
But the numbers are staggering, Susan.
Yes.
140,216 emails were sent or received by Karl Rove alone. Is he secretly the guy who's sending me the emails about being a Nigerian widow?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
140,000. I mean, I do a lot of emailing.
Oh yeah.
Who all's got his address? Are these? I mean, I know what shows up in my spam folder. Okay. But really, really, I mean, I'm kidding and stuff. But 140,216 emails sent or received by Karl Rove alone.
Yeah.
I mean, let's do some quick math. 6 years, 6 into 14, 2 times. That's 20-some-odd thousand emails a year. Sent or received, so divide that by 2. Nah, take it 2/3. That means, 12,000 were received and 6,000 were sent. Holy cats! And they're all on the RNC server, not on the White House server.
Right.
In direct violation of, you know, the law.
Which is a crime, you know, a lot bigger crime than Monica.
Sure. But, you know, God knows, you know, Tim Russert won't ask. Bob Schieffer won't ask.
No.
George Snuffleupagus won't ask. Nobody will ask Nancy Pelosi what it would take to put impeachment on the table.
Well, I will be calling tomorrow and asking that. Not her, because you can't talk to her. But I will be calling various offices in Congress tomorrow and asking, what's it going to take? What do we have to do?
I mean, their approval rating is as low or lower than George Bush's.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm going to bring up is, guys, have you gotten the message yet?
All you got to do is lead.
Yeah. We didn't want them to, we knew they were going to lose. We just wanted them to go down swinging.
Well, I don't even think they'd go down, Susan. It's not a losing proposition.
Well, that funding vote, we knew they didn't have votes. We just didn't want them to pile on the bandwagon for the other side.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm one of these really crazy types that says they didn't have to send a bill.
Yeah, you and me both.
You know, George, what do you mean send me a bill? We sent you a bill, George. What are you saying you want the same bill back? We'll be happy to do that.
Yeah. I do want to mention to people, there is an article out, and I'm going to be like Randy Rhodes. Guys, this is your homework. There's a link to it on the blog. It's called The General's Report. It's a Cy Hirsch article, and it's in The New Yorker. And rather long, but...
Cy Hirsch, he doesn't do sketches, Cy doesn't.
No, he does not do sketches. It's... The subtitle is How Antonio Taguba, who investigated the Abu Ghraib scandal, became one of its casualties.
Oh, I know. And he was, 2-3 stars on the shoulder boards?
Yeah.
And he was tasked, if I recall correctly, with investigating the Abu Ghraib scandal, right?
Right.
But he was not allowed to investigate any higher than, like, what? Master Sergeant?
Right. And the fallout was appalling. There's a quote in here. It says, even so, he was not prepared for the greeting he received when he was finally ushered in to T. Rumsfeld with his advisors. Quote, here comes that famous General Taguba of the Taguba Report, Rumsfeld declared in a mocking voice. The meeting was attended by Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld's deputy Stephen Cambone, the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, General Myers, Chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, General Peter Shoemaker, Army Chief of Staff, along with other officials. When he described the moment nearly 3 years later, said, sadly, I thought they wanted to know. I assumed they wanted to know. I was ignorant of the setting.
And see, that's one of those moments where it's hard to break down and shed a whole bunch of crocodile tears. This guy has risen to, what, 2-3 stars on the shoulder boards?
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand, Susan, that he is working under thugs?
Well, yeah, I agree with you there. But the article and everything that comes out in that article is definitely worth reading, and people should read it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the only difference between the Bush administration and the mafia The mafia makes a profit.
Well, the mafia makes you an offer you can't refuse. The Bush administration makes you an offer. Come on, it's a one-liner. Work with me, Susan, work with me. It's a one-liner.
Okay.
The mafia makes you an offer you can't refuse. The Bush administration makes you an offer you can't understand.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
You gotta let me make my weak, half-hearted attempts at humor once in a while, okay?
Hey, they're not really weak. No, they're not. Your joke to the right wing guy just about that one had me with Pepsi out the nose and I was on the floor.
Good. It's nice to know they work once in a while. Guy walks into a barber shop. Bob Peters here? Nah, I just got here. That's one of my favorites. I've waited years for that opportunity. You still there?
Hey.
Or did you shoot Pepsi out your nose again? Oh, God, it's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
I will let you go. You're getting up towards the top of the hour.
I am.
And I understand Agnes is having a bad day, so...
Oh, we're all having a very... It's not a bad day. It just kind of... It was very frustrating for us. We were hoping to get Guy James on the air from D.C.
Oh.
And everything just went to caca.
Oh, dear.
And it was technical glitchery. And I, having been in that position, I know how very frustrating it is. And I'm just hoping we get everything squared away in time to get things right tomorrow. But honest to God, just the way it was described to me, the radio row there, they just had all these people milling around talking at the top of their voices.
Ew, cute.
Yeah, I brought Guy on, and it sounded like he was trying to broadcast from a riot. You know, it's hard to work that way. It's incredibly difficult to work that way. Oh, excuse me. Well, you guys have a wonderful evening.
You too, and hey, Peter. Knock them dead.
You know, in showbiz, we say break a leg.
Okay, break a leg, honey.
Hey, Susan, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon, dear. Bye now. Oh, now I really do hope we get things working right tomorrow, because Guy had some fabulous guests lined up today, and they didn't get to come on the air, and I feel terrible about it. It's just... But really, it's my understanding Air America was a sponsor of that event, and so therefore they got the exclusive access and the panel discussions and stuff, and everybody who didn't pay money kind of apparently got shuttled out into a hall where there was a riot going on. Frustrating, very frustrating. But, you know, we've got two more hours, and, you know, I feel like this is a countdown show this evening. Everything's kind of an anticlimax. It's 2 hours, it's a little, well, okay, 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 49 seconds to Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. Okay? Now, in the meantime, your conversation is welcome. You know how to reach the program. 304, if you're on hold, stay that way, we'll come to you out of the news. 304-658-5453 is the number. 877-443-2366, toll free. Whichever way works best for you, works best for me. Email comes into bob@headonradio.com. And by the way, if you've not been to the headonradionetwork.com chat room, why not? It's free. Come on in. The conversation is fine. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The Secret Service briefly evacuated the press corps building across the street from the White House after a bomb-sniffing dog singled out a parked car. Security in the nation's capital is heightened due to concerns over visiting Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Olmert visited New York earlier today, where he met with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. He also had a private meeting with the former New York City mayor and Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani. The Israeli Prime Minister meets with President Bush later today. At the same time, the Bush administration has agreed to lift economic and diplomatic sanctions against the West Bank. The move is designed to support moderate Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas over rival Hamas. European countries have followed suit and will restore aid to the moderates as well. In eastern Afghanistan, a U.S. airstrike on a compound thought to contain al-Qaeda killed 7 militants and 7 children. The compound contained a mosque and a school. Iraq's foreign minister met with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in Washington to discuss dealing with sectarian violence. That after the U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, warned Sunday it may take a decade to stabilize the country. North Korea announced the UN's nuclear watchdog will send inspectors in next week to begin the process of dismantling Pyongyang's nuclear weaponry program. Russia's top news service reports North Korea would be willing to begin shutting down its main reactor in July. In France, newly elected President Nicolas Sarkozy's right-wing party won a majority in yesterday's parliamentary election. A predicted landslide vote for his proposed economic reforms, however, failed to materialize. British authorities have arrested more than 700 people around the world following an investigation into internet pedophilia. Authorities rescued 31 children after the bust. Agencies involved in the 10-month sting operated in 35 countries. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that when a police officer stops a car, a passenger as well as a driver has the right to challenge the officer's decision. Today's ruling was unanimous. In North Texas overnight, rains flooded several towns, killing at least 2, including a 4-year-old girl. And Duke University has reached a settlement with the 3 lacrosse players cleared of all charges in a high-profile case alleging rape. The terms of the deal were not revealed. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Hey, what's he doing?
What?
That guy is changing his oil in the street and letting it run right in the storm drain, which pollutes the bay. I totally wouldn't surf in that.
Dude, what can we do?
Call 1-800-CLEANUP to report anyone dumping oil, antifreeze, or paint in the street.
This way, fools like that can be fined.
Tell everyone to call 1-800-CLEANUP.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
British authorities have astronauts have successfully installed a portion of the solar power system aboard the International Space Station. The Atlantis Space Shuttle is scheduled to leave the station tomorrow and land in Cape Canaveral Thursday. China reports 84 Siberian tigers have been born in a captive breeding program since March. That's a virtual baby boom among one of the world's most endangered animals. Only 400 Siberian tigers live in the wild. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today in favor of Wall Street banks in a suit filed by investors who lost money after the tech stock crash 7 years ago. The investors alleged that the banks had conspired to drive up 900 newly issued stocks during the late 1990s. The former chief of Enron's internet unit was sentenced today to 27 months in prison. Kenneth Rice pleaded guilty to securities fraud and cooperated with federal prosecutors. Fast food chain Wendy's may put itself up for sale. The Ohio-based company, which is the third largest burger chain nationwide, said it's formed a special committee to explore a possible sale. Yahoo's chief executive officer, Terry Semel, will leave his position and become an advisor to the internet company. Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang was named today as chief executive. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.47 a barrel. The close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 27 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then, let's get hour number two started by going straight back to the phones. David joins us from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Good evening, Bob.
What's up?
I hope you had a good Father's Day.
Yeah, it was nice. It was quiet.
Yeah, I had a good one. We went out to barbecue and ate jambalaya and stuff like that.
Oh, yum. I didn't know they did jambalaya in Maine.
No, they don't. I mean, they just have a barbecue place down the road, you know?
Oh, cool.
I guess they're good at it. It's, you know, they're based it on a Memphis barbecue, kind of like a themed restaurant.
Yeah.
They do a really good job with it. Anyways, I have two things that I was going to talk about today. But first off, did you like that mandrel stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff.
That's cool. I knew you'd be into them. I mean, if you ever saw the Montreux DVD, if you ever get a chance to watch that, maybe sometime I'll burn it for you. But if you ever get a chance to see it, it's amazing. These guys are in their 60s, and they will be playing the horn and singing at the same time. Amazing.
Heck of a for those who aren't on the inside, a group called Mandrill.
Who they influenced? Earth, Wind and Fire, Parliament Funkadelic. They were all checking out their shows.
Yeah.
Why weren't they mentioned? Well, when you listen to the albums, you know. What I can recommend to you, the first four albums: Mandrill, Composite Truth, and Just Outside of Town. They're all on CD, and you can get them all on the collectibles label for like $9.98. Anyways, enough selling and bartering.
It's happening. It's happening and hopping, though.
Yeah. Did you check out that I sent you the Tower of Power stuff?
I haven't gotten to get it yet, but I saw that.
Yeah, I just stumbled on that, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this is up there. Anyway.
Well, see, yeah, and one of my favorite Tower of Power appearances, of course, is the live recording "Waiting for Columbus" from Little Feat. That's Tower of Power playing behind Little Feet in that.
One of my favorite Tower of Power songs is "So Much Oil in the Ground."
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's good bumper music right there. Anyway.
You know, that's true. I got a feeling there will be some Tower of Power working its way into the bumpers.
Yeah, and you know, you might want to put this on the back burner, but the Wilson brothers of Mandrill would probably be a great guest to have because they're also doctors in the California area, and they still tour to this day, but they also have practices.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, and the reason why they're called Mandrill, so for people to understand, I'm sorry to be going back to this band, but I just have to.
No, it's believe me, it's a hot band.
I know. I mean, people have to understand why you didn't hear about Mandrill. One of the reasons you probably didn't hear about Mandrill in the beginning was because they were so empowering with Afro-Cuban rhythms, and they were all black, second. And the third thing was because they were all self-contained. And, you know, after a few years, they had to go, like, when you start to listen, like, 1976 toward on to the end of the tail end part, you can see where they went disco, because they had to pay the bills. And that's what happened to a lot of
Hey, Ethel Merman went disco.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had to pay the bills for that, you know. So, anyways, like I said, the reason why they call it Mandrill is because of they named it themselves after the baboon.
Yeah.
The Mandrill baboon.
I had a feeling that probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one with like the blue on the face and.
Yeah, and the reason they're serious about it, people. It's not a gimmick. They started a foundation and it's still running to this day. Okay, so. When you look at for social conscience activists who are also doctors, who also can tear down the Montreux Jazz Festival, you heard me correctly, without that much rehearsal, you look toward Mandrill.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed today at BartCop.com, David, a little quote from Roger Waters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently from the latest issue of Rolling Stone, so says Bart, Roger Waters says, he said, scrolling furiously to try to find it. Oh, darn it. I'll get there. Give me just a minute. I can't believe I've shot past it. Oh, there it is, yeah. again, the latest issue of Rolling Stone, Roger Waters, founding member of Pink Floyd, that kind of thing, and great solo artist. If you ever heard Radio Chaos?
I believe I heard songs off of it. I haven't heard the album.
It's a concept thing, so you got to go start to finish with it to really let the whole thing grab hold of you.
Right.
Radio Chaos, great album. But he said something has gone wrong with the democratic process when you can get idiots rising to offices of extreme power like the presidency of the United States of America. George Bush, you could not make a worse choice in someone to lead the most powerful nation in the free world. You know, we're supposed to, you know what the right wing does. You know. Well, what makes these celebrities think that they've got a right to say it, that what they have to say is any more important? Nobody's saying that what they say is any more important. It's just as important. It's as important as anything William Crystal has ever said, because that little dirtbag has never been right.
My favorite, I don't know if you've read it. I have to send it to you still. But you people have to read it just for humor. Michael Smirkanish's column on Huffington Post. I don't even know why he has a column. I guess because they're friends over there. I don't even want to think about that.
Smirkanish sounds like something you have to get penicillin to cure.
I know, it does. And he talks about going to... I've mentioned this before on here, but for the people who haven't heard it, he talks about going to the Pink Floyd... He talks about going to the Pink Floyd concert, and Roger Waters starts talking about the Bush administration, and he starts yelling out, 9/11, where were you at Ground Zero? Ground Zero. It's just so friggin' embarrassing.
Well, yeah, because Michael Smirkanish was right there.
Right. Yeah, he was right there.
Because, you know, I thought he was a Philadelphia broadcaster.
Oh, God. Okay. Well...
Okay, onward and upward.
Onward. The story that I want to talk about is something that I'm sure wouldn't be mentioned because of all of the hubbaloo over the bombs, General Taguba, and all of that. The case of the disappearing Great Lake. Did you read this one, Bob?
No, missed this one.
Where did the water go?
Which one are we losing?
Great Superior. Listen to this, Bob. This is crazy. Where did the water go, asked Ted Shalafour, manager of a marina and campground on Lake Superior's Chippewa Indian Reservation. The water on Lake Superior is so low that he couldn't put his docks in the water this year. Where he used to see water, he now sees sandbars. Lake Superior, the world's largest freshwater lake, has dropped to its lowest level in 81 years. The water is 20 inches below average and a foot lower than just a year ago.
Wow.
And you have to see these pictures. When you say 20 inches of water to someone...
Now, Superior's the one that's up there by the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it's the furthest west one.
Mm.
Yeah, over top of Lake Michigan. Yeah, wow. Where does a Great Lake go?
If you go to USA Today and you check the environment section,
mm-hmm.
just do a search for Lake Superior and it'll come up, Lake Superior News, just type that, and you'll see the lake. And when you see the guy standing right there and you see the water levels, you're like, oh my God, you know, it really hits home. You're like, well, that's not the tide.
No.
It's a really good, you know...
Yeah, but lucky for us, the Air Force is going to start burning jet fuel made out of coal. That's what you're supposed to be focusing on and paying attention to, David.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention that one. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is a particular poem or a song lyric that I wanted to
okay.
say. This is called Casualties of War. And people, listen and pay attention to the visuals. I'm going to tell you something... relative to the
song. Is it improper to ask first whose lyric it is?
You see, I want to leave that to the imagination after I
say okay, that's what I said. I don't want to spoil anything. Okay.
Casualties of war, as I approach the barricade, where's the enemy? Who do I invade? Bullets of Teflon, bulletproof vest, rip, tear you out your frame with a bag full of clips. Because I got a family that waits for my return. To get back home is my main concern. I'm going to get back to New York in one piece, but I'm bent in the sand that is hot as the city streets. Sky lights up like fireworks blind me. Bullets whistling over my head remind me. President Bush said attack. Flesh back to Nam. I might not make it back. Missile hits the area. Screams wake me up. From a war of dreams, heat up the M16. Basic training, train for torture. Take no prisoners, and I just caught ya. Addicted to murder, send more body bags. They can't identify them, leave the name tags. I get a rush when I see blood dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Day divides the night, and night divides the day. It's all hard work and no play. More than combat, it's far beyond that, because I got a kill or be killed kind of attack. Areas mapped up, there'll be no stratego. Me and my platoon make a boom wherever we go. But what are we here for? Who's on the other side of the wall? Somebody give the president a call. But I hear warfare screams through the air. Back to the battlegrounds, it's war they declare. A desert storm, let's see who reigns supreme. Something like Monopoly, a government scheme. Go to the army, be all you can be. Another dead soldier? Hell no, not me. So I start letting off ammunition in every direction. Allah is my only protection. But wait a minute, Saddam Hussein prays the same, and that is Asia. From where I came, I'm on the wrong side, so change the target. Shooting at the general, and where's the sergeant? Blame it on John Hardy Hawkins for bringing me to America. Now it's mass hysteria. I get a rush when I see blood dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. The war is over, for now at least. Just because they lost, it doesn't mean it's peace. It's a long way home. It's a lot to think about. Whole generation left in doubt. Innocent families killed in the midst. I'll be more dead, it'll be more dead people after this. So I'm glad to be alive and walking. Half of my platoon came home in coffins. Except the general, buried in the storm. In bits and pieces, no need to look for him. I played it slick and got away with it. Rigged it up so they would think they did it. Now I'm home on reserve and you can bet when they call I'm going AWOL. 'Cause it ain't no way I'm going back to war. When I don't know who or what I'm fighting for. So I wait for terrorists to attack. Every time a truck backfires, I fire back. I look for shelter when a plane is over me. Remember Pearl Harbor? New York could be over, G. Kamikaze strapped with bombs. No peace in the East. They want revenge for Saddam. Did I hear gunshots or thunder? No time to wonder. Somebody's going under. Put on my fatigues and my camouflage. Take control because I'm in charge. When I snapped out of it, it was blood dead bodies on the war, casualties, bodies on the floor, casualties of war.
Potent stuff.
Yeah,
powerful
that right
stuff.
There, believe it or not, people, was done in 1992. That was, see, the reason why that was done in 1992 is because it was done by a legendary lyricist MC by the name of Rakim. And if you don't know Rakim, I'll put it to you this way. Rakim was like the Shakespeare or like the Bob Dylan of the hip-hop revolution. And when he came into the lyric scene in the hip-hop scene in the 80s, he put it to a lyrical level and concepts that people had never heard of and metaphors. Even his voice was an instrument. His baritone his baritone and voice and the monotone style that he delivered is so influential. You can hear it in the blueprint of almost every single inspired rapper today.
All right. Well, you've certainly piqued my interest. I'm going to have to get my hands on it.
Well, I'll see what I can send for you as for Rakim. I mean, he doesn't have that many albums, to tell you the truth. He's one of those guys that just goes in the studio. Whatever he writes is on the album, and that's it. But
yeah, in other words, he works from inspiration.
Yeah, he works from inspiration. But one of the things that inspired Rakim to be like this, you say, well, what kind of things? Here's a guy who didn't go on the front lines, and he saw it in his head, which is pretty incredible if you think about it. He saw it in his head. He played the whole scenario.
Well, frankly, it sounds a lot more apropos to what's going on now.
Right.
Than what turned out in that war.
That's why I said that. He was thinking ahead. He thought that's what Desert Storm was going to be like. And notice, it's so relevant to these times, because even though he's talking about Senior Bush, again,
yeah.
do the math on that. But you might ask, well, where does someone get the fire like that? Well, this might be a hint. When he was growing up, he had the KKK actually crucify his dog on his lawn.
Oh, Jesus, where did he grow up?
I believe somewhere in the South. But yeah. His family, and that was one of the incidents that made him become more social conscious. And he saw things a little bit clearer. See, when you don't have events like that happen to you, you can slip into this kind of haze. Some people aren't as lucky, and they're not sensitive, and they're not able to be aware, or they just don't have that that moment, that catalyst. And Rakim had it when he was younger. And there are other songs where he talks about different things. Like there's there's one song called Knowledge where it's called Know the Ledge, and he compares knowledge to being on a ledge. When he's talking about street knowledge.
Well, again, and that's living proof that so much that happens with the hip hop art, and I will not pretend to be any sort of knowledgeable about it because I'm not. But it gets pigeonholed into, oh, that's just rap. You know, all I do is sing about and call girls bad words.
Right, right.
And,
I mean.
But it's no different than the dismissal of the race music back when Sam Phillips was working it out of Sun Studio in Memphis. Okay, I mean it's very similar. Hey, David, I got to roll on, buddy.
All right, Bob, I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, cool.
Later.
Bye now. All right, we'll be seeing what we can do to. Oh, doggone it! I hate it when you guys give up on me. Got to be a little patient here. Jeez, okay, please. But that being the case, we'll take a little break. And I don't know. I don't know if Agnes got that queued up or not. But you were talking about David mentioned Tower of Power. One of my favorite. Every now and then, I suggest a bumper or a song worth listening to. And from Waiting for Columbus, this is absolutely one of my favorites. So we'll bump out with that. Take a quick break. Your phone calls are welcome at 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and the late, great Lowell George and Little Feet. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Foxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
We're about half past the hour, halfway through this Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we go straight back to the phones. Our good friend Kevin calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome aboard.
Hey, Bob. I just want to say, don't you wish back for the, well, thank God it may be coming back, the days of the Cold War, just to check this idiot in the White House?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel the same way about that, Kevin, that I feel when people say, well, you know, we need a draft. So that the Bush twins would have to go to a foreign war. I'm at a place in my life where, or in my thinking, where I wouldn't trust an American president with a humongous army of conscripts as far as I could throw him. And I kind of feel the same way about the Cold War. I was a kid for the Cold War, and I remember going into the, you know, the basement under the auditorium of my elementary school and seeing all those barrels with the Civil Defense sign on it and the little packages of iodine water purification tablets and crawling under the desk and, you know, basically kissing our butts goodbye. Yeah. I have a hard time yearning for that.
Well, I don't know. It's just, I just think to a certain degree, you know, if you notice the countries that we've been invading for the past 20 years are countries that really this country doesn't respect. The Russian army is a Russia in general, regardless of how broken up it is in China, are countries that the United States respect.
Mm-hmm.
And they will think twice. India are countries that the United States respect. And like, and I, and you know, Bob and I had this a similar conversation the other day. I say even in the like the third world countries, you know, there's like a new hope out there where they're starting to deviate, and this is one thing the United States need to watch out for. What Chavez is trying to do is start an economic, you know, block throughout all the Latin American countries.
Ultimately, Kevin, I think he'd like to have, I don't know that Chavez is the guy to lead it, but they'd like to have something similar to the European Union.
Yeah, but excluding the United States where, you know, they'll get their heavy industries from India and China and trade, kind of like what Africa is doing. You know, a lot of third world countries are following that model, and this country has better watch it.
Well, I understand that, Kevin. You know, the thing with the Soviets was that where nuclear warfare was concerned, we had the policy of MAD, mutually assured destruction. You know, shoot at me, I'll destroy you, we'll destroy us, and we'll just turn turn the planet into a cinder.
Well, that's the thing that I think, you know, a lot of these hardliners, that's the only thing they really respect. At the end of the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way it is with a bully, I mean, you know, anybody who's ever been a kid and played on a schoolyard knows that when the bully bullies, the only answer is to stand up to him, bloody his nose, and 9 times out of 10 he runs away screaming. And that's what's happening to the bully in the White House.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like a lot of countries, you know, like the other day, Putin said, you know, you're crazy. You know, he uses as much of a diplomatic language as he could possibly do, but instead he said, you're crazy.
Well, unlike you or me, Kevin, Putin has actually hung out with George Bush and probably has firsthand evidence that the guy's crazier than a sprayed roach.
Yeah. And, you know, he said, you know what, I'm doing my own foreign policy. And, you know, forget about NATO and all these other accords. He's pretty much broken everything. And so, you know what, you start a missile defense shield, I'm going to do something on my own now.
Yeah.
So, in a way...
Well, he knows that, and of course, Putin is no lily of the valley either. I mean, he's a former KGB thug.
Yeah. But when you have two, it's like two positive or two magnets together. They're not going to collide. They're going to retract.
Yeah, they'll repulse each other.
Yeah. So it is probably with Putin standing up, it's probably a safer situation than it was a few months ago when he wasn't.
Well, the whole world, the part of the world that is subject to being attacked by George Bush or thinks it is rooting for somebody to stand up to him, because the one thing that has become abundantly clear, Kevin, is in the United States we don't have any leadership.
Yeah.
We had the November 2006 elections. Here it is. It's June 2007, and it was, oh, wow, you know, they're going to do miracles in their first 100 hours and yada, yada, 100 days and blah, 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 blah. And it turns out that they're spineless.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Nancy Pelosi, you know, is just looking out for Nancy. But this guy, Reid, he's just weak. You know, he looks like... You know, I don't know. He's this weak. We really need a Democratic leader to stand up who wasn't going to tolerate, you know, the BS of this.
Yeah, maybe, and I'm trying to think who that is in the United States Senate, and I come up short most of the time, except, you know, maybe Russ Feingold?
Well,
I don't know.
What's his name from Vermont, but he's not connected to any party.
Bernie Sanders, Pat Leahy. Leahy stands up and acts like he's going to fight every once in a while. But it seems like it's constantly one step forward and two steps back. Do you get that sensation?
Oh yeah. But we need a senator, a majority leader, other than Reid. We do. And I think part of the reason why Pelosi has been, because I don't think she's really a softie, but she doesn't have the Senate to really back her up. A House can only do so much. It's really the Senate that's where the party really, and I think the logic, you know, being the political analyst or amateur political analyst, it doesn't make sense going through all this, you know, hardcore hours of legislation, because we clearly have the overwhelming majority in the House, only for it to be filibustered in the Senate at the last minute.
Oh, I know. I had a little low-rent hissy about that last week. The idea that the Republicans are allowed to filibuster anything.
Yeah, and...
But that's just because, you know, we appreciate the rule of law, and we're not as bad as they are. My God, they never would have done away with the filibuster, because they knew that would have busted their own rear ends.
Yeah, and
but we didn't have the guts to stand up to the bully, Kevin.
Yeah, but the thing is, also we got, you know, a spineless rat in Connecticut as a senator who's disguising himself as a Northeastern liberal named Lieberman, which, you know, him to me and like Giuliani are like. What was that character in Star Trek, the shapeshifter?
Yeah.
That's what they are. You know, Giuliani 10 years ago supported Mario Cuomo.
Giuliani 10 years ago said that Bill Clinton was getting a bad rap.
Yeah. And now we're going to, he's a right-wing Nazi now.
Well, but you have to be
mainstream.
Yeah, I hate using that word, though, mainstream. It's not mainstream, but to be a viable Republican candidate, you have to appeal to the absolute worst impulses of the reactionary right.
Yeah.
And I guess that's good news for us, because that means it's far less likely that a Tom Tancredo or a Giuliani or a Mad Hatter McCain will ever enter the White House. I guess that's the good side of it. The sad side of it is that these people still think that the absolute worst part of America has that much sway.
Well, I don't know. It's just, anything but that guy, the actor guy there.
Fred Thompson?
Oh, yeah. They're trying to make him palatable like another Reagan.
Nominate him. He won't survive. I don't mean physically. I mean,
he won't last.
America will get one look at his wife and go, "Oh, you cradle robbing sicko."
Well, you know what a woman does with her father. I mean, husband is her business. You know, but I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like he is the real threat. Giuliani and all of them, they're going to be exposed to what they are, hypocrites, you know, down the mainstream.
Well, they're already being exposed. But the sad thing is, we're not being offered anything on the Democratic side.
Gore has yet. Gore, I think, is going to take it. I'm almost pretty sure Gore is going to take it. It's practically being served to him on a plate. And if he doesn't take it, either I'm going to have to hate him or respect him, because that is the ultimate apple in the Garden of Eden. If you can, the presidency is being given to him. Literally, it's being given to him. What I think is going to happen is he's going to wait until he wins the Nobel Peace Prize, and then wait a while, then come out and eliminate the whole.
And he can, but Kevin, he can only wait so long.
He'll get the funding overnight. He will get the.
Well, no, it's my understanding that if he runs, he wants to run with his own money, so he doesn't have to be part of the filthy political funding process.
Well, but I think he will get it. If he wouldn't even need the funding, heavy funding. It's like I said, if he doesn't take, because this is on the same level as Eve biting into the apple, the forbidden fruit. It's on that level. You know, the presidency is being given to you now. You know, this is the way I'm, you know, reading it. And I honestly think he's going to take it. He's just waiting for the time. Because the thing is, he wouldn't even have to campaign that hard either. You know, because he's running, don't forget, a powerful thing that's out there with Gore, and what Gore has an advantage of everybody else is the what-if factor. What if he had won? How much
difference? Well, yeah, and not even so much that, but the fact that he did win.
Yeah, well, that too, but, okay, what if he did, you know, let me correct it, but if he was sworn in, let's say.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not being overly.
Yeah, it's okay. How much different this world would have been. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people's lives, and I would say almost two-thirds of the country, maybe even more, are thinking that. How much my life would have been different had he been president? Would we be in this war? Would we be in the financial chaos that we're in?
I've had right-wingers take issue with me. I am genuinely convinced all the way down to the soles of my feet, Kevin, that 9/11 would not have happened if Al Gore had been allowed to take his rightful place in the White House.
You're absolutely right.
Because they had a track record of catching the bad guys. No, they didn't catch the people over in the Gulf of Yemen or whatever who did the coal, but they did catch the 1993 World Trade Center bombers. They caught the Millennium Plot bombers. They stopped a bunch more. And they did it without going to war.
Yeah. You know, so...
They were competent.
Yeah. You know, and matter of fact, they were given the evidence that there was going to be a major attack. You know, it's like, you know, so you're absolutely right. I even said that. I've been saying that. People have kind of laughed me out of the conversation and said, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. And now, look, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's assume Gore becomes president and 9/11 does happen. Is that man dumb enough to go to war in Iraq?
No.
So there's no way the Iraq war happens.
Yeah.
There's every chance in the world that even if 9/11 did happen, that Afghanistan wouldn't have turned out the way it did. It would have. That little viper's nest would have been cleaned up, fixed up, and there'd be positive positive movement now.
Yugoslavia.
For heaven's sakes, beyond all that, it took Bill Clinton and Al Gore, their team, 8 years to clean up the filthy economic deficit-ridden mess that was Reagan and Bush.
Yeah.
And by the end of Bill Clinton's terms in office, there was a surplus.
Oh, yeah, and that disappeared in 6 months.
Three months. And it had nothing, and see, they hid behind the Iraq War. It had nothing to do with the Iraq War because they never went off the straight budget on that.
Yeah.
Our surplus disappeared in tax breaks for Ken Lay and Paris Hilton. And Anna Nicole Smith.
Real contributors to society.
Exactly.
Real contributors to society. Anyway, I just think Al Gore, you know, I think if he doesn't take it, he is every bit that robot that they used to clown him on. Because this is like the ultimate temptation, probably the temptation of the century. Look, guy, you're being offered the presidency. You know.
Yeah, take it or rue it for the rest of your days. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I have to say, Bob.
All right, Kevin, thanks so much, man. So good to hear from you.
Okay, good thing to hear.
Bye. All right, bye now. Our good friend Kevin calling from D.C. I understand a lot of what he's saying. I mean, when he says you kind of miss the Cold War, what he's talking about is you miss the rational exchange of two people staring at each other, knowing that they have the power to turn the earth into a cinder, but that they go too. And the thing that the Bush administration places so much of their spin and so much of all the evil that they do on is that they have got America to one extent or another. I frankly don't know anymore. You know, I hang out in a world where people are, you know, reality-based and rationality-driven. And I don't... I don't have a real good sense of what middle, you know, those so-called centrists that control our politics think anymore. But the Bush administration has done everything in their power to make us think that MAD, mutually assured destruction, is gone, and that people who have nuclear weapons now are just crazy. Isn't that what we get every day on Iran? We can't allow them to have a nuclear weapon. They're just crazy. You know, like some sort of used car ad in Jersey. I'm crazy. Do you see what I mean? Because, well, you know, if Ahmadinejad got a bomb, well, you know, he'd just use it. He'd nuke Israel. He'd nuke his own toenails. He'd nuke everything. He's just crazy. He's not. They're not. Any country that gets one nuclear device knows in the process of developing that one nuclear device that all this stuff has a signature. And let's assume for a moment that these crazy people give a suitcase nuke to some crazier bunch who walks it into a Denny's in Lower Bumchuck and sets it off, and there's a mushroom cloud in Middle America. When, you know, when Ahmed blows up your local Walmart. That's it. That's all. No more bombs for the crazy people. They had one shot, and now they get to turn into glass. Right? Now, the only way that these people are crazy is if they think that we would not retaliate with a nuclear device if a nuclear device was used on us. Because most of the world would say, well, okay, game's up, you know, your turn, your move. And I'm not silly enough to think that we've got anybody smart enough who will ever be in the, who will ever have power in their hands that would be smart enough to respond to something like that by not nuking someone. Because, well, you know, anybody who's ever put the groceries away knows. You ever done that thing where you pull the cabinet out into your into your head really hard and it hurts really bad and you just go into immediate swearing? It's not the cabinet's fault. You did it. But you start swearing anyway, and 9 times out of 10, you'll slam the cabinet. Well, that's what happens when a nuclear bomb goes off. The next thing you want to do is set one off somewhere else, whether it's right or wrong, dumb or just outright stupid, or vengeful or mean. You're just going to do it. Now, am I to understand that I, a dumbass hillbilly, can figure this out, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad can't? That Mullah illiterate, whatever his name is, that runs Mahmoud Ahmadinejad can't? I mean, we're not talking about the launch switch for the return of the 12th Imam. They don't believe that, most of them don't believe that crap any more than I believe that Jesus is coming back and he's holy rolls. Because they ain't. Because it don't happen. So that leaves us to kind of dope out the situation and figure it out for ourselves and hopefully straighten out some of these freaks along the way. And you have to stop and ask yourself, what in God's name would actually make a country use a nuclear device, knowing full well what the outcome of that use would be? And all you can come up with is that this is being used to scare the American people. to make sure that the American people understand that mutually assured destruction is not a strategy that is in play. When, in essence, mutually assured destruction, it's not some treaty, it's common dadgum sense. He who uses a nuke gets a nuke used on him. And we get, you know, we get crazy people like Tom Tancredo who goes to meetings and says, what we need to do is just state in advance that if a nuclear device ever goes off in the United States, no matter who it is that set it off, what we need to do is tell them that we will immediately set a nuclear device for a cloudburst over Mecca and Medina. Yeah, that's going to win friends and influence people. God, God, God. Tom Tancredo, Jesus. But I don't know. You guys listen to this program. I don't know who you talk to, what kind of circles you necessarily move in. I don't know if you ever talk to right-wingers. I don't know if you know where their heads are, apart from being up their butts, the right-wingers. But I know that this is a scary-as-hell country. What are you doing July 29th, by the way? If you're in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area... Why, you'll have a chance to see some terrorists marching down the street in the bright light of day. Next month, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 26th to 29th. Have you already read this? Am I telling you something you already know? Has it already given you the cold chills? George L. Wilson of Children Need Heroes and Drew Heiss of Street Preach plan to celebrate Paul Hill Days. Do you know who Paul Hill was? Paul Hill was a murderer. It was July the 29th, 1994, when Paul Hill assassinated Dr. John Britton and his escort James Barrett and seriously wounded June Barrett outside of a women's health care clinic in Pensacola, Florida. Oh, he was proud. Paul Hill was proud. And so now, 13 years later, couldn't they wait till like a nice anniversary date, like 15 or 20? No, they're freaks. They probably do miracle math made easy. It's not 13, it's 20. Because God said... George Wilson and Drew Heiss and their freak organization Street Preach and Children Need Heroes will hold Paul Hill Days in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They ask, why Milwaukee? Why not? They say there are people here who recognize Paul Hill as a hero, and we would love to welcome others from around the country who share our belief. Hopefully in the future, others will host events in their cities. Jesus, if they do... we are screwed. Because that means that all semblance of civility... You remember how Eric Peterson, the author of Light and Liberty that we talked to the other night, you remember how he said Jefferson believed in civility? These people don't believe in civility. They are celebrating murder! Cold-blooded assassination. It'd be like going to Springfield, Illinois and holding John Wilkes Booth Days. July the 26th to the 29th, they're honoring Paul Hill, quote, as God's man and our hero. Planned events include activities at our two remaining killing centers, literature distribution. Somehow I'm guessing they're not giving away Charles Dickens' Bleak House. Ministry at the federal courthouse. Oh, Jesus. That was just like a shot of bad liquor. Reenactment of 7/29/1994. You got that? An organization called Children Need Heroes is going to do a reenactment of a sniper assassination. As someone playing the great martyr and Christian hero Paul Hill guns down someone playing the evil abortionist Dr. John Britton. And then they'll have a Paul Hill march, and then they'll have ministry at other public forums. George L. Wilson. By the way, I got this from Frederick Clarkson's Theocrats of the Week. George L. Wilson, the proprietor of Children Need Heroes, has two other heroes he believes children should learn about. Shelley Shannon, who was convicted of the attempted assassination of Dr. George Tiller of Wichita, Kansas. And James Kopp, who was convicted in the sniper assassination of Dr. Barnett Slapian in Amherst, New York. Kopp is also the chief suspect in several other shootings. Now, you and I know what to call these goons. And we know what to call Paul Hill. Paul Hill was a, within the current and operating definition used in society today, terrorist. Paul Hill was a terrorist because he sought to effect public, legal, or policy change through the imposition of violence on innocent people. Dr. John Britton's escort, James Barrett, had never performed an abortion, never had anything to do with an abortion. He murdered him! He grievously wounded June Barrett. Again, she'd never performed any abortions. Jesus. Terrorists and terrorist sympathizers are going to march down the streets of Milwaukee, Wisconsin from July the 26th to the 29th, and they are going to reenact a murder! Where's the law and order Republican crowd now? What right do these people have?
Oh, I got a First Amendment right!
You know, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once wrote that the First Amendment did not protect the right to yell fire in a crowded movie house, or to yell movie in a crowded firehouse. I can't remember which. Isn't this that? When you take a bunch of very mentally weak, religiously insane people and start reenacting murders for their children's benefit? Aren't you yelling fire in a crowded movie house? And isn't the tinder in America just bone dry? I ask you. We will come back with more. Oh, believe me, there's more horror. Take your medicine. We'll be back. News is next. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Horn. I'm hanging on for dear life. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Bye-bye.
This is the Quality News Network. The Secret Service evacuated a building near the White House for about 90 minutes this afternoon after a bomb-sniffing dog singled out a parked car. The car was driven by a member of the Israeli delegation that had come with visiting Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. The press corps evacuated while a search was done. Olmert visited New York earlier today, where he met with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. He also had a private meeting with former New York City Mayor and Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani. The Israeli Prime Minister meets with President Bush tomorrow. At the same time, the Bush administration has agreed to lift sanctions against the West Bank. The move is designed to support moderate Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas over rival Hamas. European countries have done the same. In eastern Afghanistan, a U.S. airstrike on a compound thought to contain al-Qaeda killed 7 militants and 7 children. The compound contained a mosque and a school. Over the last 3 days, more than 100 people have died in violent clashes in southern Afghanistan. NATO forces and Taliban are fighting there. Iraq's foreign minister met with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in Washington to discuss sectarian violence and how to clamp down on it. Just Sunday, U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, warned it may take a decade to stabilize the country. North Korea announced the UN's nuclear watchdog will send inspectors in next week to begin the process of dismantling Pyongyang's nuclear weaponry program. In France, newly elected President Nicolas Sarkozy's right-wing party won a majority in yesterday's parliamentary election. A predicted landslide vote for his proposed economic reforms, however, failed to materialize. British authorities have arrested more than 700 people around the world following an investigation into internet pedophilia. Authorities rescued 31 children in the bus, which was nearly a year in the making and covered 35 countries. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that when a police officer stops a car, a passenger as well as a driver has the right to challenge the officer's decision. In North Texas overnight, rains flooded several towns, killing at least 2, including a 4-year-old girl. Duke University has reached a settlement with the 3 lacrosse players cleared of all charges in a high-profile case alleging rape. The terms of the deal were not revealed. You're listening to QNN.
Harry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Harry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
A new study shows that a drug commonly used to treat strokes and heart attacks may also work to reduce the damage that frostbite can do. The anti-clotting treatment returns blood flow to frostbitten extremities, reducing the need for amputation. China reports 84 Siberian tiger cubs have been born in a captive breeding program since March. That's a virtual baby boom among one of the world's most endangered animals. Only 400 Siberian tigers live in the wild. Brazilian scientists say they've established that the Amazon, not the Nile, is the longest river in the world. The researchers discovered a new starting point for the Amazon in Peru, making that river 4,250 miles long, or 76 miles longer than the Nile. The former chief of Enron's internet unit was sentenced today to 27 months in prison. Kenneth Rice pleaded guilty to securities fraud and cooperated with federal prosecutors. Yahoo's chief executive officer, Terry Semel, will leave his post and become an advisor to the internet company. Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang was named today as chief executive. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $69.60 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 27 points at 13,612. The NASDAQ was flat and the S&P was down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, we'll go right back to the phones in just a second, but just for the sake of balance. Oh, that word. So the right-wing religion industry murder freaks are going to have a parade for Paul Hill, who's dead, mercifully, in Milwaukee. Why Milwaukee? I don't know. Free beer? On the other hand, the Trojan Condom Company... I'll wait for this. The Trojan Condom Company has a new series of ads out that they had hoped to run on the networks to sell their condoms, in which beautiful women are seen in a bar surrounded by pigs. Okay? One of the pigs, we'll call him Arnold, walks into the men's room and purchases a condom, a Trojan condom, I might add, from a machine therein. And upon doing so, turns into a very studly 20-something guy, who then goes out and hooks up with the fabulous babe. See, Arnold, babe, I worked in two pig references. Aren't I good? Guess what? Fox and CBS refused to run it. CBS said that it did not find the ad appropriate, quote, appropriate for our network, even with late night only restrictions. Why? I mean, I heard that Trojan used to advertise on radio programs like Don Geronimo or whatever, and they had this Trojan man who would come up and offer a young man a condom while he was, you know, putting the moves on some, you know, girlfriend or whatever. Dad, you know, he ran at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the Charleston, West Virginia market. Trojan man! Stop playing the machines. Those aren't lottery machines, Agnes. It's like me at the ATM. Oh, I won $10! But no, the best part of it all is the name of the ad campaign is called Evolve. In rejecting the ad, I can't do this with a straight face when you think about all the crap that's on Fox. In rejecting the ad, Fox sent a written response to Trojan that read, and I quote, contraceptive advertising. Jesus, why didn't they get like the school marm in a pencil skirt and a high neck blouse with a really tight top knot bun and little wire rimmed glasses to go and deliver this message? Fox sent a written response to Trojan that read, quote, contraceptive advertising must stress health related uses rather than the prevention of pregnancy. What, Edith? Yeah, no kidding. So, and why? Why? Because Rupert Murdoch owns Fox, and they are very sensitive. To the wishes of the right wing, and of course, abstinence-only education has as one of its centerpieces the statement that condoms cannot prevent pregnancy. Condoms are not 100% proven to prevent pregnancy. Not to mention the fact that the right wing wants to make sure that no pregnant, you know, it's every sperm is sacred, you know, the whole Monty Python thing. And if a sperm gets wasted, God gets quite irate, you know, that thing. I won't sing anymore, okay, I promise. So, there are terrorists marching in Milwaukee. And meanwhile, Fox is too squeamish to run an ad that suggests that condoms might keep you from getting a girl pregnant. Woo! What? Woo! Oh my! Oh! Welcome to the 11th century. Jesus, with TV. It's the 11th century with TV. That's pretty much where we are. Let's go to the phones before I lose it. Our good buddy Albert's calling in from Wisconsin, no less. Albert.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
God bless America.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be in Milwaukee for this Paul Hill event. I mean, it's not every day you get to celebrate. You know what I'm saying? My whole family's going to be there. It's going to be a family outing.
It's a family-friendly event?
I didn't know this was happening. Of course it's family-friendly. You know, Paul Hill, the hero. No, seriously, we're just there for the Rage Against the Machine show. But, and I think Tool is going to be playing.
Oh, man, what a show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend, so who knows? It's a bad weekend for that kind of stuff going on there.
You know, maybe you could get necklaces made for you and your family of that show like a gurney. You know, I mean, because remember, if Jesus had been electrocuted, we'd all be wearing little electric chairs around our necks. Paul Hill was killed by lethal injection, wasn't he? Or was he fried? We'll have to look back, but maybe you could pass them out to the Paul Hill crowd.
Where was he killed? I don't know.
He was executed in Florida, I believe.
Well, they fry people down there.
Yeah, I think old Sparky got him.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But you're right, 11th century indeed. Fox being, it is funny. It's not funny, but it is funny. I mean, it makes me laugh so hard. I think I disconnected a muscle in my rib cage, which hurts, and then I can't laugh. So I'm going to try not to. But they'll show like, you know, oh, the world's sickest police and do suicides. And
God, I'm why am I laughing? It's true.
Yeah, but no, you can't have a condom commercial on. You know, I mean, it's like, what? They're so it's just amazing. It's just the hypocrisy of these people is just absolutely just flabbergasting.
Well, do you think we could go to Washington and have John Hinckley days?
Yeah. Man, you know, honestly, it's kind of one of these things, though. Bob,
crazy little bastard couldn't aim.
I lived in northern Idaho for a while. You know, that's where the Aryan Nation.
Oh yeah,
they were centered, and they would every year they'd have a. This is just the reason I say this. This is my take on it. Every year they had Adolf Hitler Fest on his birthday, and they wanted to have a parade and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, and then the JDL and the ADL would get all frothy, and then they'd come down and they'd create this huge scene. But I would always say, I think it, you know, because I don't want to, because it gets to that point, you know, like, I don't want to limit anyone's free speech.
No.
You know, because it's like, you know, protecting those that we despise the most, that's, you know, that shows the extent of our, you know, what we really believe about.
That's the only way I'm on the air, man.
Well, true. I mean, granted, you know, let's say, you know, let's extend to these types of people the benefits that they wouldn't extend to us, which, you know, I think is kind of the whole point of, you know, being in this civilization.
Well, yeah, I do. I understand that. I'm completely conversant with the idea of protecting free speech, and when they passed those bans on funeral protests, I was out there asking, is this a good idea? So I understand it, but you know, if it's true that some speech is not protected, and that speech which is a direct incitement to violence is specifically not protected. When they're reenacting it?
But I hear what you're saying, but see, my whole point, I mean, you're going in too much on it. My whole point on this thing is, like, if you don't agree with it, and it's something that is so abhorrently offensive, which it is, because it's disgusting, don't go. Let them march down an empty street. Let the only things that accompany them is the trash in Milwaukee, empty beer cans and McDonald's wrappers. Let that be their aspect in terms of, you know, like, look, I mean, imagine, I'm a hardcore racist, pro-white, anti-abortion guy, and I'm going to sit there.
Oh, and you know the Fred Phelps crowd will show up for this one.
You know they're going to be, well, they only like protesting against, you know. But, they'll probably be there. There'll probably be some of them. They'll have a contingent there. There will be neo-Nazis there, you know, because we can't kill white babies. We need more white babies. The other races are outbreeding us. We need more white babies. So it's that kind of concept. And sure, they'll be down there and they'll be marching, but it would be awesome, like, you know, either that or people laughing at them, or, you know, just anything like that. I mean, but when people do and they, you know, incite this confrontation in their minds for these people, it, like, validates their beliefs.
I understand. You know? I understand everything you're saying, and I agree with about 99% of it. Here's the rub, Albert.
Okay.
Part of this is, you know, they're going to have their little march, and they're going to have their reenactment, but it doesn't say where they're going to do their reenactment. But they do say that they are going to protest at, what was the word? Oh, yeah, activities. That's what their words. Activities at our two remaining killing centers.
Okay. All
okay,
right,
so
right.
They're just reenacting the assassination of Dr. Britton. Those aren't real guns. What happens when these crazy murderous bastards start shooting at the clinic?
You know, man, it's amazing. It's just simply amazing. I mean, it's why is it every time we talk I can barely speak, because it's just so.
Well, I don't mean to do it to you, Albert.
No, I know, but it's just, it's not you. It's this world that we sit in and we live in. And they're like, we're trying to get progress, and it's like they don't want progress at all. They're hitting reverse. And I mean, I don't understand.
They got five gears of reverse, dude. They got reverse with overdrive.
That's all they got. I mean, that's all it is. I can't even comprehend why you would reenact that kind of stuff. I mean, because it's like, you know, maybe I should make up some signs, or, you know, like, thou shalt not kill, and, like, you know, that means don't kill. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what part of thou shalt not kill do you not understand, you freaks? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, just kind of use some of their own little, you know, phrases of the Lord, you know, against them, because it is and you know what they'll have, this is what they'll have. They'll have all these little baby dolls and just laying around. It just, you know, it is just going to be.
Oh, no, they won't. No, they'll have the gory photographs. Don't think for a minute that they won't have the gory photographs.
Of course. And, you know, I mean, and it's like, and that's another part of it is like, it's really, they're talking about, and I don't even like the abortion issue, just for the fact that I don't have a uterus. And
that's my thing.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
See, I think
it always seems the men.
And maybe this is something that Peter could address in his program sometime. I have a theory, Albert.
Okay.
I believe that a lot of these pasty-faced, doughy white dudes, because it's always guys, you know,
yeah,
around these abortion clinics, I have a theory that most of them are tortured, self-hating, transsexual, closeted types.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that.
They want a uterus so bad they could bust. I mean, it's like, you know me. I'm forever reaching for Monty Python, right? You remember the scene in Life of Brian?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to call me Stan anymore. I want you to call me Loretta. Yeah. Where's the fetus going to gestate, Stan? You're going to keep it in a box. Well, we can stand up for his right to want to have babies. Yeah, that's what these people are, Albert. I'm not kidding. I think the level of sexual repression is so. I mean, look, Pastor Ted.
Yeah, I was thinking.
I mean, the latency, and that's, you know, that's why I keep hollering. Let people be who they are and love who they want to love. Because then the world will get a lot less nasty. Because repression is poison. Sorry, ranting. Apologize.
No, it's not a problem at all. I mean, it's certainly one of those things. If you don't have something nice to say, and it's not going, I mean, well, it's a tough thing to wrap your brain around, because there's no way you could say, well, hey, let people be the way they are going to be. You know, we're trying to change the world for better, and then in their minds, they're always like, well, we're trying to change the world for better in God's world, and blah 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 blah. And it's almost like I don't know how we're ever going to pull out of this. It's like we're one of those flat spins. And I don't know how we're ever going to get out of it. I don't know what it's going to take for people to finally just say, maybe break up the state, make it in, there's nothing you can
do. No. I mean, I don't want anybody going out and giving up or anything, but there's no getting away from it. My lovely wife brought me home this wonderful, she's forever stopping at yard sales and bringing home books, and it gives me hope because apparently other people buy cool books too. And so she brings me this little tiny book home on the history of libraries. Oh, boy, there's some scintillating reading. But, you know, I'm such a geek, I find this stuff scintillating, okay, Albert?
Yeah.
And I'm reading in it, and I find out that once they got, in the history of writing, you know, clay tablets, cuneiform, it's a series of wedges and lines that mean stuff.
Don't forget the golden tablets from the Mormon.
Yeah, right, that you have to wear the special binocular glasses to read while you've got on your sacred underwear. Yeah, okay. Once, you know, the wet clay tablet, you take your little piece of reed from the Tigris River and you make your little marks. And at first, all writing was basically cataloging. It was, I have this many measures of wheat and that many measures of barley and this many goats and that many sheep and this many camels. Okay? That's all it was. It was just record keeping. The next thing that happens after record keeping, I kid you not, the historical record bears it out on clay tablets that are older than these freaks think the earth is. The next thing that happens, Albert, is they start doing clay tablets of, and this is the spell for making a woman love you. And this is a spell to appease the god of the goddess of the moon. And here is the spell for, and there's thousands upon thousands of clay tablets of magic crap. And finally, they get up, and this is the recipe for beer, and that's where Western civilization begins.
Yeah. Well.
So there's no getting away from it. The first doggone thing printed on the printing press, the thing that probably changed Western civilization and, frankly, the world more than any other thing, the printing press, the first thing he did was a Bible.
Out of? He printed it on?
Sheep.
No, hemp.
No. It's parchment. It's,
oh, no. It's printed on the paper.
No, the Bible, the Gutenberg Bible, is printed on parchment.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I just was under the impression it was hemp, just like the Constitution, which was first printed on hemp, then on parchment, then
yeah.
on that.
No, these are vellum. But the first thing is the Bible, you know, with, and then Lot's daughters got him drunker than Adam's off ox and did their daddy. That's the first thing Gutenberg could think of to print with his marvelous new instrument.
Yeah.
So there is no getting away from it. And the fact of the matter is, Albert, the geniuses who came up with our form of government, who wanted to see if free people could rule themselves as opposed to being ruled, I hate to tell you, but they were not part of the mainstream because people were still, you know, every time the church doors opened, people were in the church, and then most of the people's minds were just ruined. But these were geniuses who were part of the Enlightenment, and they were part of the Enlightenment because they were part of the educated class, and they thought, you know, if we can just educate people,
yeah,
we'll have hope. So is it at all shocking to you to find that the right wing, Jerry Falwell, one of his big quotes was, I look forward to the day when the U.S. education system collapses and education is in the hands of the church as God originally intended it.
It just, you know, that those words, as scary as they are so hollow. That I really, and for you, I mean, I know you do, and you and I can sit here and discuss this, and probably most people listening can discuss this, and like we might even hit the same barriers. Like, we don't understand. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what exactly are you saying when you say something like that? I mean, obviously, other than the obvious, you know what I mean? Like, why do you hate progress so much? You know, where does it say in terms of, you know...
Yeah, but the answer.
If they really were that really, truly fundamental...
No, the answer is fear.
Yes, I know it's fear, and I know all that stuff, but if they were as fundamental as they try to act like they are, like they're as holy as they are, and they want to walk, you know, talk this talk, and then they got to walk the walk, they'd be in my neighborhood driving on a horse and buggy. Okay?
Yeah, they'd be Amish.
Amish. Yeah, they'd be Amish or something like that. If they really want to be, they want, you want to talk like that, you want to walk like that, go ahead.
And they'd be contributing to society because they make great, great cheese and fried pies and molasses.
And furniture.
And furniture.
Maple syrup and, you know, and they're...
Good things. And they mind their own business.
Yeah, they do. And they say hi to you. And, you know, they may call you an English bastard or whatever when they're... You know,
yeah, you'll be careful among those English. Sorry.
And then, you know, I mean, I'm sure you probably even seen... what was that documentary they did on the Amish here?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Playground.
Yeah.
Devil's Playground. Yeah, that's a neat little view into that world. And
but see, you know what I remember about them? Or I think about when I think about, the Amish up in Lawrence County, Tennessee, just a little bit north of Lawrenceburg on US 43. Hmm. A horrible tornado blew through Gwin, Alabama one time, and it's the home of my sister's in-laws, fine people. Everything was blown away. It was one of those, you know, there's nothing left but just, like, it looks like somebody dumped, if you take the aerial view, it looks like somebody dumped a box of toothpicks.
Yeah.
These Amish people got on board pickup trucks in the middle of hail and rain and rode probably 150 miles from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee to Gwin, Alabama, got out of the trucks and picked up chainsaws. And somebody said, I thought you people didn't do that kind of thing. And one of these Amish people said, this is no time for standing on doctrine. And they proceeded to save lives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what happened when they had that psycho freak go into that school and shoot them. I mean, you look at how they reacted.
The first person they went to was the freak's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we love you.
Yeah. And you got to look at that and just, you know, I mean, that I can see in a sense. That's why, almost in a way, I want our extreme fundamentalist religionists out here, religionists, to actually kind of walk the walk a little better. Not go and bomb abortion clinics and, you know, do all that kind of stuff, but, like, walk the walk. You know, talk about love. Talk about that. Talk about all that kind of stuff. You know, don't stand in front of the abortion clinic and try to use fear and, oh, look what's going to happen. They're going to chop your baby up into, you know, chop meat.
And then they put a scissors in the back of its head and it's, oh.
And then you're going to go to hell. And, you know, instead of doing that, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, hey, I've been through the process, okay? So I don't mind if you, you know, hey, hand you this, you know, hey, you're loved, blah, 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 blah. Okay, love is unconditional. You know, walk the walk a little better. Like, yeah, don't be so selective. So, you know, oh, it says this in the Old Testament, blah, 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 blah. But that's the thing in terms of religion. I mean, religion is just one of those subjects that you just got to laugh, especially once you really, like, the more you know about other religions, the more you know about mythological history, the more you know about, you know, these dead religions, then the more you and you see how close they are to what we have today.
Yeah, because Sam Harris, you know, the guy who wrote The End of Faith, mm-hmm. And Letter to a Christian Nation, genius of a guy, he points out that every Christian in America is an atheist with respect to every other religion. Everyone is an atheist, he points out.
Yeah.
It's just as a matter of it's a matter of which religion you're an atheist toward. I'm so glad you brought up Greek mythology because I had one of those little holy crap moments yesterday when I was having my quiet little Father's Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I opened up another one of those marvelous little books that Agnes brings from a yard sale, mm-hmm. and this one was Greek mythology, and I was reading about Theseus. You know who mm-hmm. Theseus was.
Yep.
And I was reading about the wedding of his buddy, the wild man. It's a very similar parallel to Gilgamesh and Enkidu.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, we're getting deep, aren't we, Albert?
That's
so what? But here's the wild part. Just because I love, you know, if I worship any god, it is the god of irony that I worship. And I'm reading along about Theseus going to the wedding of his buddy. And he was wedding this beautiful woman from a tribe of centaurs came to the wedding, and they hated the tribe that the bride came from. But she was so beautiful that the centaurs got all liquored up, and, you know, a liquored up centaur is just no good.
Oh yeah, you don't mess with no liquored up centaur. It's like liquored up Klingons.
Right, you know, or liquored up Alabamians, you know, same thing.
Okay.
Sorry. I just can't imagine an angry, liquored up Wisconsinite. I can't, Albert.
Oh no! Well, there's actually videos on YouTube that had this thing. It's just if you ever want to just go quickly look at it. It's called Canoe Days. They used to do this canoe fest. Everything up here is fests. That's why I call it the Paul Hill Fest.
Hill Fest. Jesus.
The Hill Fest. Yeah, we got fest for everything. And so I'm like, huh? We had canoe days, yeah. Look it up, Wisconsin. We drink a lot up here, so it's...
I know, but you know how.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, you don't... Yeah, bar time. I've been a bartender. I used to be a bartender for a while, and it seems a little safe. But anyway, on with your story.
Okay, on with my story. So the centaurs get liquored up and steal the wild man's bride at the wedding feast. Bad manners even in 2nd century B.C. Greece. So... all hell breaks loose, and they start fighting the centaurs, and Theseus himself winds up killing this one centaur who had just ripped a tree out of the ground.
Whoa.
And was getting ready to go after his buddy, and Theseus kills him, and I'm reading along, and like I said, it was one of those little holy crap moments, because that centaur who ripped the tree out of the ground and was about to go and lay waste about him, in a stupid fight... the name of that centaur was Petraeus.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't that? I mean, I just kind of went, and just stopped there and went, did I read that? Yeah. And it's even spelled the same way as our dear general's name.
Did you hear what he said now? He's already given preliminary little excerpts to his report in September that the Democrats want us to wait for. I'm glad that we're all on the same page, because this stuff's making us sick. And but anyway, he's already saying that there's not going to be much change in September. We're not going to see any change. Insurgencies last anywhere between 10 years and more. You know, and he was saying this kind of stuff, and I'm talking to Wolf Blitzer, one of those guys. Oh, no, the old man, what's his name? Schaefer. And he's sitting there saying how we're, insurgencies go on and go on and go on. And, prepping the way for saying, oh, I never said I was going to make massive change, because insurgencies go on and go on and go on, you know what I mean? So you people have got to be prepared for a long haul. But the thing is, another thing that Petraeus isn't mentioning, besides his mythological roots, is that insurgencies are usually lost, not by the insurgents, you know what I mean?
Right.
Eventually.
Because the insurgency ends when the country is free.
Basically, and they don't stop. I mean, you know the people in that area, okay, they have such a long tooth when it comes to history that they... I mean, this is not, if we're there in 50 years, there's be no difference. We're going to have to do like the war crimes that the British did. We're going to have to do that kind of stuff when it comes to suppressing that country, which was, they used mustard gas, and that was after World War One.
Oh, yeah.
And they used mustard gas and just exterminated people, and they set up, they taught Saddam, all the tactics for that kind of stuff. And you know what's another funny little thing? I was, I can never get enough history, and because I always love as many perspectives on history, because you always find, even if it's something that you know, you always seem to find like another nugget of like,
cruising along and you find a centaur named Petraeus.
Exactly. And so what Winston Churchill said? Like the Russians, they wanted to line up everybody and shoot them. All the Nazis, we know who they are.
Yeah.
Let's just line them up against the wall and shoot them. And the Americans are like, oh, no, we have to do this rule of law. This is when we're,
we have to give them a trial and then line them up and shoot them.
Basically, yeah. Which is, a little bit more honorable, but at the same time, Winston Churchill said when he heard what we were planning on doing with the Nuremberg trial?
No.
He said, it's good to be the victor. Now, why is that? Because this is the things, like, if it wasn't for that, if we didn't win, we would be in that same boat. We would be right up there on the dock. Fire bombings, do all this train, bombing the supply lines for civilians and all that other stuff that goes on. And we sit here and look at a war. Now we're fighting in a war in Iraq, okay? There's never going to be a Nuremberg trial. for this place. And we've already, I mean, what are the death, what's the death count? There's, what, 2 to 4 million refugees. There's,
three quarters of a million dead civilians.
Three quarters of a million extra dead civilians. And it just doesn't stop. It just, every day, it's 35, 105. I don't even know what the average is a month, because it's a sad thing for me.
3,000? It's 100 civilians a day.
I mean, I don't see, Bob, and anyone, I challenge you. I mean, come on now. If we were to ever do something like this, I mean, if somebody was to do this to us, how long would it take you to forget that, you know, your wife was blown up, or your child was blown up, or children's, or yeah, or you were at a wedding and they
try never.
No.
See, you try, well, no, never, because you tell everybody you can find, oh, by the way, they killed my family. And, you know, Go tell your friends, they killed my family. And never forget, they killed my family.
Yeah, but see, then Aaron Coulter would just call you a harpy, and you enjoyed the death of your loved one, and you should just obey. And
no.
Where's she been, by the way? Not that I miss her, but...
I don't want to know. No. Maybe getting her Adam's apple shaved? You know, again, like I said, we're talking about some really, really angry, repressed transsexuals.
They're weird. They're just weird, weird. I mean, it's not even nice to say. You're disrespecting transsexuals.
Well, yeah, okay. It's not the transsexual. It's the closet. The closet is the killer.
Indeed, it's that psychological prison that they not only want, you know, they're not only happy to live in, they want all of us to be in there.
It's jealousy, because people who are living their lives the way that they choose to live, be they heterosexual, homosexual, be they asexual, they're jealous of everything. They're jealous of people that they don't like the way they arrange their furniture. Oh, the patio's too big. Or, you know, oh, look at the boat. There is no more materialistic person on this earth than a religious fundamentalist.
Yeah. That's I'd say that's pretty true from my experiences with in my own family. I
mean, and they'll say, you know, they bring home the new boat and they go, look at what God's blessings have given us, a boat. God blessed us last month with a 46-inch plasma TV. Next month, God is going to bless us with a new car.
Yeah.
And there's no blessing to it. It's damn sure not a blessing when the Visa card bill comes.
I don't know where they get their money either, but it just drives me kind of nuts. I mean, it's
funny money, okay? I mean, it's got the little dude from Monopoly in the middle of it, okay? It's not real. God has blessed us greatly. They are one paycheck away from God deciding that He hates them.
Yep. And you know, now that kind of leads us into where we're sitting today. I think it was the Washington, not the Post. Was it the Post? One of those is talking about the collapse of our economy. And you know, I wonder what is going to happen once our housing bubble takes. You know, it's going to take a few more years, but once it completely deflates, gold, as you know, that's a good indicator in terms of the health. I mean, gold is still at, it's like $670 an ounce. An ounce.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, back when Bush took office, it was like 210 an ounce.
Funny how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tune in some right-wing radio some night, Albert. Just stay long enough for one break. Because I don't care. I don't want you to listen to what they're saying, what O'Reilly or Savage or whatever is saying. Listen for one break, and you'll hear an ad. Call 1-800-BUY-GOLD-NOW.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1-800-BUY-GOLD. Gold has never been more valuable. Experts say now is the time to invest in gold.
Yeah. Well, Bob...
You know, dope it out, man.
I'll tell you, I do. And this is one of the things that, you know, like, I never want to ever be trapped myself. And in doing that, I try not to get too... Like, you know, I don't know, but I'm... Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, all those people that they're telling us are our chosen saviors, they're already won. All that kind of stuff really...
And by the way, let me interrupt you for a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Did you see this sleazy story out of the Obama camp?
Where he wants to pardon Scooter Libby?
No. That was... The other sleazy story. Yeah, Hillary.
Yeah.
Where they put out, and see, this is sleazy because it's racist and it's bigoted and it's xenophobic. She has taken campaign donations. You know, Hillary's a politician. She'll take a campaign donation from anybody who offers her one. That's American politics. So will Obama. So will all the rest of them, mostly.
Okay.
But she's taken campaign donations from Indian American groups and Indian American businessmen. And Indian, I mean dot, not feather, okay?
Punjab.
And the Obama campaign puts out this Hillary hates American workers memo that refers to Hillary as the Punjab. You know, this is not the audacity of hope.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's not the Barack Obama that got everybody charged up at the Democratic National Convention in 2004. You know, that's not the person, or was it 2003? One of those. I mean, that's why I say, you know, I mean, I was watching him give a speech, and he was giving it in front of the National Black Caucus of America or something like that, and he totally was talking. And I'm just saying, I noticed because he's talking like Martin Luther King. Not that I love Martin Luther King, but he's talking like that until you see him talk in front of a quote-unquote white audience. He's all real straight, completely monotone, or, you know, he uses inflection in a different way.
He sounds like he sounds like Richard Pryor talking like a white guy.
Yes, or David Chappelle.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now, I sit there and I hear this, and that, to me, I don't like ingenuous. I don't like it when people are that way. I mean, I can understand you can use a different lingo with your friends than than you do on the radio, and I understand all that. But, you know, when you are actually completely a chameleon and you completely change your entire mannerisms and everything just so you really get these people on your side and then turn around and do the same exact thing constantly and constantly, Barack Obama is a fraud. He's a phony fraud. And look, we always constantly see it. Hillary Clinton's a fraud. She's been bought out by the health insurance companies. I mean, we constantly see it because what happens? Their actions are so loud. They're so in our face. And, you know, it's only up to, you know, the media groups like you and the small independent, the people on the blogs. If it's not up for us, which are the Americans, you know, that aren't the controlled media interest groups, the controlled media interest group, they don't pay attention to that at all unless it serves a purpose for them, unless they can actually utilize it to kind of push one way or another, and then that, you know, and they think they're going to lead the whole crowd along with, you know, with that ring in their nose. But when we sit here, we're going to look at it, and you're a liberal, Bob, I'm a liberal, and we're going to sit here and actually look at this honestly. We're going to sit there and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. How can you sit here and race bait her and use, you know, all this other, you know, these little Republican strategies to sit there so you can move up a few percentage points, and then think that, and then how can you imagine that we can trust you? I mean, that is such an insult to our intelligence. How stupid do these people think they are? That we are? We give them the House, we give them the Senate.
You know, it's almost two years that I've been on the air with this program on the internet, Albert, and that is the theme. I'm done. That is the theme of this program. How stupid do they think we are?
Amen. Amen. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And, impeachment's off the table? What are you, out of your, what are you, crazy? This administration is the worst thing that's ever hit our country. You know what I mean? You almost need to get Jimmy Carter on here and apologize for apologizing for calling it that. And I think the only reason he did is because he feels like he can't say it because he doesn't have anywhere to actually talk about it. So he, you know, and I don't know what he thinks. He's not going to win another election. But, you know, when he said that, you know, I was like, wow. And then, you know, a week later, he's saying, oh, I didn't mean it like that. And it's like, I mean, even Jimmy Carter is betraying our trust. You know, it's like he's insulting our intelligence. He's sitting there telling us what we all know in our hearts. Everyone that hates the Bush administration and hates the direction that this country is going in.
And then, knows, sorry.
Mm.
I know. Makes you want to scream.
Yeah, but I got kids, and they're starting to pick up the words they say, so I got to really start watching my mouth.
Yeah, next thing you know, you'll be sitting in a minivan somewhere, and your darling little daughter will say, look, that sorry bastard's got Uncle Randy's hat, just like my kid did. Yeah. you gotta watch out. But no, I understand. But you know, you've got a special job because you got little ones. Agnes and I, and all parents of young impressionable kids have especially, you know, if you're liberal or if you're progressive, you've got a very, very, very difficult job, and you got to take the blinders off at an early age. I'm sorry they don't get to be young and innocent, but there's some stuff that you got to tell them early on, because the stuff you tell them when they're kids sticks.
It does. It does stick, and I certainly... You know, I certainly, and that's, and maybe in a sense, you know what, you're right. You're right in a lot of ways, because when we talk about Republicans and their greed, it's almost like they're children that, they were, like, cause kids are that way, you know, like, my daughters they'll be playing with a toy, one will have the other. As soon as one lets one go, I mean, I'm talking like in a second, she'll let the piece of paper that she's coloring on, the other one's grabbing it. And I have, and I mean, I must say, share 50,000 times a day. I mean, it's amazing.
They're still little. You haven't graduated to saying stop it 50,000 times a day.
No, that's about a 10,000, but still.
Yeah.
I know what
you're saying.
It's like, yeah, well, these people that, you know, they're like, well, why shouldn't I make an enormous, ginormous profit? You know, these hedge funds, which are the hedge funds. Anybody don't know anything about some hedge funds, I seriously recommend you go do some reading on these hedge funds. That's all I can say.
How to make a killing.
Oh, these people, it's amazing. It's mind-blowing how much money that, and that is the wheel that our economy turns on, that and some other things that we won't get into.
And it's phony. It's phony. It's fake. It's not even real.
Well, what did they say? The hedge fund values in deferential payments or something like that is like $500 trillion. The world is barely worth $100 trillion. Okay, so yeah.
Hard rain gonna fall.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's just, but anyway, these greedy people, and you know, like, and I was actually, There's a lot of alternative video sites out there, and you never get, you know, you once in a while you stumble on them and you'll watch a video that's just so inanely stupid that you can barely breathe after watching it, and then all you'd want to do is just curse and scream at them if you were to comment on it anyway, so you usually pass it up. But this one is one that I passed up recently is something that I regret, and it's about this greed that these people have. And they're sitting there, and they were trying to be, you know how I don't know if you've ever caught it. I've only caught a clip or two on the Internet, and it's just been awful. But Fox's answer to The Daily Show, which is the Fox's...
I couldn't.
Yeah, it's just really bad. Anyway, this girl, I think her name is Right Wing Girl, and she's on Live Leak. She does this little thing where, I've been possessed by a liberal, and she starts talking about how liberals don't want people to make $100,000 a year. And see, and I'm just going to say that, you know, they don't want people driving Hummers and stuff like that. And, I mean, well.
Or getting them, for that matter. I'm sorry.
But you got to, you know, I mean, $100,000. I don't think you or anybody that's rational and sane would have a problem with someone making $100,000. Because $100,000, while, yeah, it's a lot to pay if we have a bill for $100,000, even if you make $100,000, $100,000 is a lot of money. But it's not an obscene amount of money.
It would provide Agnes and me, for instance, the ability to make sure our kids went to college.
And what is wrong with that? Nothing. Absolutely.
No.
That's where you're
sitting. But I mean, $100,000 is not that much money anymore. It really isn't. And so, you know, hence I always kind of wince at the question where the Democratic candidate comes out and says, well, you know, my plan for restoring America is we're going to soak the fat boys. You know, we're going to eliminate the Bush tax cuts. Good. Yes, absolutely eliminate the Bush tax cuts. But they always say on the rich. And then they say, well, what's rich to you? And usually you get the answer, $250,000 a year is rich.
That's still kind of not really rich.
When
I say rich, Bob, I'm talking...
I'm talking golden toilet seat rich.
Yeah, $200 million plus. I'm talking these health insurance CEOs that make $1.4 billion in a year.
Yeah.
Who needs?
Look, you make $1 million a year, you're rich. You can pay your fair share.
Oh, yeah.
But it's an arbitrary number. You know, $1 million or $100,000 a year for a family of, let's say you're one of these fundy freaks that, you know, that knows that condoms don't work because you don't use them and you've got eight kids. $100,000 a year, you ain't eating steak every night.
No, you're on ramen noodles.
Yeah. On the other hand, a married couple, $100,000 a year, no kids, you're rich.
Yep. You've got a nice brand new car, two brand new cars, and you probably got a boat, and you probably got a nice house, and you got, you know, all the newest, you know, accessories because it's $100,000. And I don't think $100,000 is not, you know.
These are fluid. I guess what I'm getting at, these are fluid terms.
Yeah. But my thing is like, I'm talking about these people that make that kind of, I mean, $200 million, $500 million. And there are a lot of people that make that. And what do? They pay so much in taxes. No, they can pay the lawyers, so they don't have to pay so much in taxes.
Well, the way you can find this out is go look at the Forbes list of the 100 richest people in America.
Yeah.
See where the 100th, see the poorest guy on that 100 list, number 100. Mm-hmm. What's he make a year? Then you get an idea of what rich means.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though I'm not entirely convinced that that list is fully accurate.
No. I'm using it just mainly by example.
I know that. I'm just saying, like, you know, there are, you know, like Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. I don't know. I mean, I think he's the most famous richest person in the world.
Let's see, scroll the list down. I want to see the poorest rich man in the world, Agnes.
250.
there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people tied for 98th.
Okay.
And that is $60.4 billion. that's, oh, let's see, Alfred Heineken of the Netherlands. He has $77.4 billion. Dig this. H. Ty Warner, $57.4 billion. Guess where that $57.4 billion came from? Here's the hint. Ty, T-Y. You got daughters, little daughters.
Tyco?
Beanie Babies.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, but that's why I don't buy it. It's tough for me to buy that. It's really, I mean, you know, we're talking...
Well, a lot of it's phony baloney money. It's stock market money. It's IPO money.
Yeah, but
you ever let me get involved with an IPO and they tell me I'm a billionaire? I'm gonna bring it in barrels, boys.
Time to cash it in. Yeah. I'm a billionaire. Later.
See ya. I've got mine in money. Buy gold now.
Exactly. You know, but that's where we're at. We're sitting here with. You know, people that have that kind of money, I mean, and it's actually, what is it? It's we're like Mexico now. I mean, in terms of our, and how we're split apart in terms of class tiers, where 10% controls more than, controls like, well, we are the bottom tier, and we control 16.8% of the wealth. Yet we have, you know, I think it's, what is it, $11 trillion in debt or something like that, or
yeah.
some outrageous amount when it comes to debt because of our mortgages and all that other stuff. But then we sit here and we have 16-point-something% of the wealth, and the top 10% has 90% of the wealth, and the top 1% of the top 10% has 90% of that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how...
And who says there aren't kings and princes in America?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we are. Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, we talk about Bush, we talk about Gore, we talk about all the... Yeah, Gore, too. They all have royal blood in their system. They all have descendants that they can trace it back to the, you know, to these ruling classes in Europe that have been there forever. They realize that, well, we can't quite have monarchies anymore, and so we'll just do it by proxy. And that's kind of what I feel that they're doing. They do it by proxy. The Bushes are, I mean,
let me interrupt you for just a second. We only got a couple of minutes left. This is a little anecdote from yesterday. We had our, this weekend was our hometown heritage festival days.
Okay.
you know, the little dude, the little wagon with the corn dogs and the cotton candy and the Amish funnel cakes and the strawberry short, you know, the typical small town festival carny atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And there is a mansion in town. It's called the Page Vauder House. If you want to see it, you can go to Page, P-A-G-E, hyphen Vauder, V-A-W-T-E-R, house.com. It's an 11-room mansion, and it was built by a man named William Nelson Page. He was a railroader, and I mean that. He was a railroader and a coal mining engineer. And we're all excited around here because they're going to restore this falling down Gothic mansion.
Okay.
And, you know, bless their hearts, the people that are doing it. But the fact of the matter is, it's like, you know, the great industrious William Nelson Page. And he was. They built a railroad for him right to his door. So he wouldn't have to go to the station with the hoi polloi to go to work every day.
Yeah.
His house should have a little sign on it that says, built with the blood of poor, ignorant, terrified people.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, we look at the outward trappings of wealth, and we don't understand that wealth comes from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That man got rich because my great-grandfather Davis worked himself into an early grave digging coal and filling his lungs up with filth at a time when coal was, by God, dug with a pickaxe and carried out in a little car drawn by a mule and a little boy called a trapper at the entrance of the tunnel worked 12 hours a day, 10-year-old boy, just opening the door for the mules. Okay? That is the Page Vauder Mansion. Not the house as it stands there, but and that man's wealth was not the money that was in his bank, but the people who were slaving their sad lives away for his sorry ass.
And you know,
we're gonna have to sing the Internationale now.
I grew up going to Vanderbilt Mansion, William Floyd Estate. I mean, I grew up on Long Island, so
yeah.
I grew up around all these robber baron, you know, the Moses Parkway. I mean, that was his private driveway.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're talking, it's a highway now, and it used to be a driveway leading from the city to the country where he owned, you know, 5,000 million acres or whatever it was. You know, and yeah, so I mean, now they're all foundations, and you know, so now they're invisible. But you know,
yeah, but ain't nobody eating beans. Hey Albert, I got a break. We're out of time, brother.
All right. All I
God, I love these conversations.
I do too. Nostalgia for an age that never existed.
Ain't that the truth? Later.
Bye bye.
Bye now. Thanks, Agnes. Great job tonight. Thanks, John Fox, engineer, Sydney, Australia. Thank you, Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida. Your turn.
Yay!
Coffee break's over. Back on your head.
Don't you mess with Peter.
I know. And to many thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Do the right thing. Liza, just this once, you can stay up. Listen to Uncle Peter. And RMR. It's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. A bomb scare near the White House lasted for an hour and a half today after a bomb-sniffing dog reacted to a parked car. Security in Washington, D.C. has been tightened up because of Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's scheduled meeting with the president tomorrow. Today, Mr. Olmert was in New York, where he met with U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and had a private meeting with former New York City Mayor and 2008 Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani. Three rockets were fired from southern Lebanon south into Israel yesterday. No injuries were reported, and Israel did not fire back. The attacks were blamed on Syria-backed Hezbollah militants who denied the accusation. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas now has the backing of President Bush and the European Union. President Bush telephoned Mr. Abbas this morning, pledging to work with his new government in the West Bank. Prime Minister Olmert looked upon the new Palestinian government as a, quote, genuine partner, willing to work with those who understand the right of Israel to exist, end quote. During the first 4 months of the Baghdad security operation, coalition troops squeezed al-Qaeda fighters, Sunni insurgents, and Shia militiamen out of the capital. Those they didn't capture or kill fled town, wreaking havoc on Baghdad's outer edges. Today, those same coalition forces and others in the troop surge attacked those outlying strongholds. As the additional troops fan out, the sectarian violence is increasing, with 110 people found dead today. To stem the flow of arms and fighters entering Iraq from Iran, coalition forces raided two border cities today with the help of coalition warplanes. 20 terrorists were reported killed in the bombardment. In Afghanistan, over the past 3 days, more than 100 people have been killed. The dead include civilians, police, and Taliban militants, according to Afghan officials. For the first time since the Vietnam War, the Vietnamese head of state is coming to America. President Nguyen Minh Chit's visit will be primarily a trade mission. He'll meet with President Bush in Washington and also stop in New York.